The views expressed on PFW in Progress are not those of the New England Patriots, its affiliates, or any of its partners. Content may not be suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
The following takes place between 12 p.m. and 2 p.m.
This is PFW in Progress.
What is that? Someone made a tape of something dying or something.
Turn that crap off! What's going on?
I want this music out of my head.
Hey, turn that off! Turn that off right now!
PFW in Progress with Red Kirsch.
Well, Dak, here's the deal. I'm the best there is, plain and simple. I mean, I wake up in the morning, I piss excellence, and nobody can hang with my stuff. I'm just a big, hairy American winning machine. If you ain't first, you're last.
Paul Perillo.
Shut up in here. I'm trying to sleep. One of you turds is about to get smacked.
Hey, stop yelling at me, okay?
And Andy. And Andy?
Hey, Ryder! Drive
me! Please be 18.
Andy Hart.
We were shellbacks together, Andy! You got payback coming!
Eric Scalavino.
Remember that time we got kicked out of biology for playing with Matchbox cars?
Yeah!
Who's retarded now?
For now, anyway.
My husband Gregory and I wish only for that which every other couple wishes for. To tame Komodo dragons in Sri Lanka.
PFW in Progress, part of the Patriots Football Network.
Hakuna Matata, bitches.
And welcome back to Gillette Stadium. It's Thursday, January 23rd, a few days away from the weekend. It's Paul and Eric right now. Don't worry, Fred and Andy will be here later too.
It's like the temporary Z team. I mean, we got Fred. Now. We have, you know, he's obviously the top of the line when it comes to this show. You don't have Mr. Volatility, Andy.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, you have to put up with us, Eric
for
and
now.
Paul.
For now, anyway. But a lot of activity going on.
It's very cold.
Football. Yeah, it is very cold actually in the studio. But we have a lot of football news to talk about regarding the Patriots, Paul.
We do.
Starting off with the most disappointing. I mean, I'm
personally,
glad for him.
Personally sad.
Right. But also, it's bittersweet because it's time for him, and he's had a great run. We're talking about Dante Scarnecchia. More than three decades as an assistant coach here, and just one of the nicest guys on the coaching staff, I think, that I've ever come across here. Yeah. And on top of that, was a great coach, was a great assistant coach. And a lot of people, you know, one of my friends was asking me this morning, you know, how come he never got a sniff as a head coach? And I said, well, honestly, he didn't want to be a head coach.
I'm not sure he was ever interested in it, yeah.
And I think he made that known a long time ago because, you know, a guy like him who's been around, well-respected, easily could have been offered so many jobs over the years. But I think he decided a long time ago that wasn't for him. And for some people, that's, you know, being a head coach has a lot of responsibility to it that some people don't want.
Yeah.
And I think he was one of those guys. He was content with his role and accepted it. And I think the other teams in the league realized that, and that's why his name never came up. But
and suddenly, it's a full show.
I'm here.
It's a full show.
Big Head's here.
Fred's here.
So my shoulders are here.
So I didn't even get to miss Fred saying our new offensive line coach's name for the first time.
Yeah, I have no idea.
We haven't even gotten to that yet. We've just been on
We're just setting that table. Right
just
now.
Been on Dante.
There are a lot of nickname options. You know, he's got D&D or his initials. He's
Oops.
Got there's Elmo in the middle in there. There's Lie. There's who knows? Dag. Yeah. I don't know. But I'll tell you one thing: we cannot call him his real name.
Well,
Eric, can you say it?
Yes.
Of course you can, pompous a-hole.
It's Dave DiGuglielmo. It's Italian. He's a Pisan.
You have to say it like that, DiGuglielmo.
If you want to, Fred. the accent off. We have to have pretty soon. So we'll save
As
it for
always.
That.
But, more Paul, that's Andy.
We have a connection, though, with the team. Paul and I both do.
BU,
yeah.
I have a connection with him.
Well, you do, yeah. That's
Paul
right.
even has a story to tell.
No,
but
I don't.
He and I were, I was a freshman on the BU team when he was a senior.
Yeah.
And Paul.
We're classmates.
Paul was classmates.
We graduated in 1990.
So you know him?
I didn't really know him,
saw him in lunch line once,
I did see him in the dorm once.
And what did he say?
He was complaining that the food was intolerable.
Really?
Isn't that funny, though? He remembers him complaining.
This food is intolerable.
That was the word he used.
With an F-bomb thrown in the front of that, that's exactly... You just... Now Fred knows the story, too.
So he's a hothead.
This often...
I guess.
We're just going to assume that,
so
you
know,
guys,
30
guys
years are, later, he didn't change.
You guys are come from the cut from the same cloth, I guess. Huh?
Well,
BU hotheads.
Yeah.
I don't know when the last time you were in a dorm to eat. It's been a lot of years for me.
I used to love the school food.
Me too.
I can't imagine there being any more options than the, what used to be in the dorms. At
right.
So how you could find the food, quote, intolerable is beyond me.
Yeah. Maybe that's why the Jets let him go. He was complaining about the food too much.
It's like Randy Moss when he got kicked out of Minnesota. Complained about the spread.
You're out.
So that was the first thing we set the table with.
Yeah,
we just started.
Yeah.
Just started setting the table.
What I thought was interesting in the whole Dante leaving, other than he's leaving, saying, you know, that Robert Kraft said this is something that they had talked about for a few years now, and he had probably wanted to do it sooner, and maybe they kind of convinced him to stay a little longer than he was planning on staying.
I got that impression.
We'd even talked about it. We've talked the last couple off seasons about him and when he goes and how he goes and how do you replace him and all that. And we were sort of reading into, you know, maybe because, you know, Dable was kind of shadowing him, maybe he would be the next line coach. But it obviously didn't work out that way. And you and I discussed it. I think part of that might be Dable might be the next offensive coordinator. And you don't necessarily.
Might have to be.
Right. You know, we had, you know, you guys, I'm sure, haven't touched on it, but reports out of Cleveland that there's still sort of communication Well, that's a debacle. Now, I don't know. Maybe Josh can leverage this to control and money because they sooner or later they need a coach. Sooner or later, you have to have a coach.
Yeah.
I think Andy's the next one in line for an interview.
Yeah, but it is interesting.
I am not pulling my name out of the consideration. I would take an interview.
There are reports now that Cleveland's still talking to Josh.
Right.
You know, that's still
and
in Chiano the works.
Chiano interview.
Right. You know, because the first
Mike
thing I
Patin,
thought of when I heard DiGiuliano coming, you know,
I said,
you know, why Close not enough. Why not Dable? But that could be it. Is that he's, you know, on ice for the coordinator job.
Yeah. It's possible.
But it's certainly not good that even though they're going to, well, maybe keep their coordinators, the fact that you're losing three assistant coaches, including one of which is, or two of which are staple coaches from the entire tenure.
Yeah. Well, we
trending even younger and more unknown.
And we talked about it this morning, Andy. That could be another reason why Bill was a little bit more emotional after this game, that they couldn't go out on a little better note.
Yeah.
Right. You know, this is the last year for Dante and Pepper, and wouldn't it have been nice the way you had Weiss and Crennel and Bill huddling after that big win? They're doing the same thing this year.
I also felt bad, too, that, you know, the unit that we were most critical of in the AFC title game was the O-line. And it's too bad that his last game that has to sort of be what
that
we remember.
Yeah, they should be ashamed of themselves.
You know?
That was mostly Fred that was critical.
The O-line.
I thought they were competitive. Scar, I get you back, bud.
Did you hear what he just said?
Yeah.
The O-line. They should each write an individual letter of apology to Dante.
Oh, jeez.
But seriously, I'm sure he was disappointed with not only the fact that they lost, but that his group, you know, contributed in a lot of ways. They couldn't run the ball. They gave up some sacks at crucial times to Brady.
With you.
And your boy, George Gotsy.
George Gotsy. Yeah. As we...
My mouth's bleeding, Mark.
You know, as they say on Twitter, no surprise here, or as expected.
Yep.
He can confirm. He went to Bill O'Brien with the Houston Texans.
Now, what I did find interesting about that, and you talked about Dante, perhaps this being in the works. I don't know how you pronounce the girl's name from the Houston Chronicle. Tanya.
Ganguly.
Ganguly.
Yeah.
Is it Ganguly?
I think so.
Okay. Well, she wrote a piece for ESPN. She doesn't work for the Houston Chronicle anymore. Maybe she works for ESPN now in down there.
Oh, really?
Indicating
she's
that
moved around a lot.
That,
she gets around.
Well, it's not what I was saying, but
the story that I read on ESPN Boston was by her, so I assume she's affiliated with ESPN in order for them to use
ESPN
her byline.
Houston.
We getting to the point here. She indicated that Bill O'Brien wanted to take George Gotsy with him to Penn State.
Yes.
And Bill Belichick
said put the kibosh on that.
Said no.
Yeah.
Yes.
But I was thinking back to the offensive line coach's name. If you say it with the accent, you can kind of get away with mispronouncing. You can kind of say it any way you want, and no one really knows.
So I needed to finish my story quick so he could get to that
point. All right, webradio at patriots.com, 508-298-0398 is the ace ticket hotline. 855-PATS-500 is the way to call toll-free. So all this coaching movement, Bill Belichick was also on EEI last night, a Wednesday, making up for not being on Wednesday, Monday, I assume.
When he was traveling, apparently, to the Senior Bowl at that point.
And it was a fairly extensive call that he had with Salk and Holly, talking about, you know, one of the things that I thought was interesting is you never really hear him second-guess himself. But he did on the 4th and 3 a little bit. Like, you know, in hindsight, it would have been nice to have those 3 points. But he explained his thinking, and it was kind of the same as mine. At that point, you were down 17. If you can't convert a 4th and 3, I don't think you're going to come back from 17.
Yeah,
and
you and I were saying you're not beating the Broncos by kicking field goals.
Yeah, right. and we said it to each other in the press box, Fred. I had no problem with their going for it at that point.
I didn't either, and I still don't.
They needed a spark on both sides of the ball. They had nothing.
Yeah,
and if you pick up that first down, maybe you end up kicking a field goal anyway. But
instead,
at least
they gave them a spark.
Well, yeah,
up an 11-yard
game set. Match. Sure, that was it. You know, but you know, it was. I think the first time he's ever
that I can remember. Yeah,
he's even acknowledged that. Yeah, there's another way of thinking about that decision. Hmm. You know,
not a good week for him then. Yeah. Mr. Consistency seemed to lack a little consistency this week in sticking to his normal modus operandi in the media.
Yeah, and that leads to the other news item with Dino Blandino from the league saying
this from the nothing
was
really
hit.
Saying it was a legal hit. There's nothing, there's no penalty.
He even
there's
pushed out a little.
Yeah.
As the rules are written now or whatever the phrase.
Time, yeah. I mean, because he was saying the competition committee could look at it this offseason and maybe make a change if they decide.
Well, he's flat out wrong.
Who's flat out wrong?
The hit came before the ball arrived. I mean, there's evidence of that, but whatever. It's in the past. Who cares?
You know. We did learn that Fred is not very good at estimating distances.
Thank you very much.
Okay, so it was 6 feet instead of 10 feet.
Five. It wasn't six because it wasn't two yards.
Okay, 5 feet instead of 10 feet. And by the way...
So he thought it was twice as far away as it was.
By the way, it was 5 feet from that photo. We don't know actually when the contact started.
But it's also, as you said, in a play like that, 10 seconds is a millisecond.
Yes.
I mean, 10 feet is a millisecond.
Yes.
So 5 feet is a half a millisecond, which means it was at the same time.
It was a very simultaneous
contact.
Yeah. Yeah.
And at the other side of that, as much as I kill the referees, and I do, I think they're terrible. I think they stink. But they've all looked at it, and they all think that it wasn't a penalty.
Except for that one guy.
Except for the guy who doesn't, the
Jim Dalopoulos.
What happened
to Smith and Jones? What's with all these names?
What's wrong with that? What, do you have a problem with that?
I do. Hart. Yeah. H-A-R-T. Okay. It's easy.
Yeah.
You don't care for the ethnics.
I don't care for these long names. You can be ethnic all you want. Just shorten your name.
Oh, wow.
I thought that's how
it
happened.
You can't be ethnic, then.
The arbiter of names.
Nice, exactly. Nice of you.
I thought that's what they did at Ellis Island. I thought they just chopped off all the hard names.
Just the Jews.
I'm not comfortable saying that.
Well, that's
going
what happened.
In that direction.
With names?
Yeah.
They screwed up a lot of Italian names.
I thought they cut all of them.
It's like such a warped view of history.
They changed people's names.
I know, but
they
didn't think they did.
They changed everyone's name.
I literally thought it was somebody like me taking names and somebody goes,
I can't
dig
on it.
No.
Yeah.
And just cutting off about three, you know, tough.
That probably, whatever. I'm sure that happened.
That happened to
I didn't know
everybody.
I have a friend who's,
that's because he
Well, you
wasn't.
Know him. Paul, you met him. I have a friend, his last name is Fennell.
Yes.
His real name was Fennacchio. Why bother changing it? I don't know.
Wait, no, because the guy writing it down changed it to something.
Yeah, that's what I'm
saying. He wrote whatever
F-I-N-E-L
he thought it was.
Or whatever.
He didn't stop everyone. Can you spell that, please?
Yeah.
He just said, all right.
I mean, he couldn't just change them all to Smith.
Scal.
It would have been awkward.
Right.
Yeah.
Smith.
All right.
A lot of Smiths coming across.
Once again, we're getting off-season tangent here.
That's one of the funniest things I've ever
seen. Yeah.
All right.
Did we actually talk about Pepper, though?
We haven't.
Not specifically.
Because he's clumped into the threesome of coaches leaving. I think there's a chance he could end up in Houston. I haven't heard anything like that, but I think he had a really good relationship with Romeo, and I was telling Paul that... You know, Romeo's old.
Yeah.
So if Romeo's only planning on being there 3 years, 2 years, maybe Pepper thinks I can go there and then I'm slide right into the DC job there.
I was going to say, because that would be a lateral move.
But if there's the possibility, if there's a more of a carrot.
And
maybe.
I could see Bill O'Brien. And I could see Bill O'Brien saying, look, I need someone right away that's done it before.
Right. Yeah.
But
you're the guy.
Rack is not going to be here for more than 2 years. You'll be the successor.
That makes perfect sense.
Yeah. And now you're hearing it from the head coach. And so you trust him that it'll actually happen.
And
because
even,
there's no doubt he wanted to be a defensive coordinator.
Well, and even Godsey, your guy Godsey, is going to be the quarterback's coach, supposedly. And that would lead you to think that kind of like McDaniels
OC and
Wade.
Yeah.
Bill,
yeah.
OC and waiting.
Trouble is, I don't ever see Bill giving up play calling.
Yeah,
Bill O'Brien.
That's
Bill O'Brien.
That was funny to me too because that seemed.
He
to
might
be the
get
way
the OC title and some money, but he'll be like your boy in New Orleans.
The story was written in terms of like natural progression, but I kind of look at it the way Andy does. Bill O'Brien is one of those Andy
over
Reid
my
types
dead
that
body.
I think you're going to have to pry that play sheet out of his hand.
If I get Sean suspended Payton, for the year, you can call plays.
Yeah. Sean Payton.
And he might, for the way he
you
goes
never
off.
Know. Yeah.
Hothead.
Yeah, he could have one of those tirades off on Goodell, and all of a sudden he's out.
Well, it'll be interesting how O'Brien gets along with Schaub and whether or not he's...
Well,
he's,
if Schaub's,
if Schaub's
there.
Even
that's
there.
What I'm saying, I was just about to say, and whether or not he's satisfied with him being his quarterback or...
Or
you know,
Keenan, or the rookie.
I mean,
or...
that's the biggest thing he has to deal with right away as the head coach, is who's my quarterback.
It's the biggest thing every – and so we've seen these guys that are supposedly QB-friendly or QB gurus. You know, Gruden was supposed to be – and then he would clash with every quarterback
right,
he met.
Right,
and so, yeah, I think that's a possibility.
Yeah.
And it is a different environment than going to Penn State where Matt McGloin is playing out the string and he's loyal to you and, you know – it's a different dynamic when you're the head coach of an organization, either picking a guy or trying to keep a guy or keeping one guy as a holdover to the next. There's a lot at play there.
So Matthew Slater's on Deion Branch's team. I'm Deion Sanders' team in the Pro Bowl. Is that what I hear?
I think so.
He picked Slater.
Yeah, and Mankins.
I think Mankins might be on Sanders' team,
he
too.
He is, too, I think. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So that's,
who cares?
That's ongoing.
Brady has bowed out to leave, obviously,
right,
with the knee.
And then Gostkowski got,
in
yeah,
because of Prater going
what
to the team's Super
he
Bowl.
On? I don't know.
I don't know.
Not that I care. I just figured you told the first couple. You might as well finalize it all.
Yeah. It is kind of fun, though, the way they're doing that.
I hate it. 2 days and just drawn out. And I hate Deion Sanders. I've just flat out come
well,
to hate him.
I don't hate him, but I have no time for him.
It's just I don't particularly care for Deion either, but I'm saying that the idea of having – two different teams and drafting like that, you know, pick, you could have put, you know, whoever you want as the Hall of Famer.
Has anybody watched, have you watched some of it? Is it,
no.
Like, I don't even know how it's really unfolded.
No,
or...
no I saw a very
and
quick,
are they not
the uniforms are terrible too.
Oh, that I know.
I saw a very quick thing last night where they had, I don't know if they had all these guys sort of like sequestered or something and they try to make it out into like this thing, like they had to wait around until you were drafted. So they had like these beds set up somewhere outside, and like Eric Weddle is there, and it's been like 17 hours, and he was making a joke, he was making fun of himself, and it was kind of funny. That's literally the only 30 seconds that I saw. He's like, yeah, come Sunday afternoon, I'm going to make someone pay for this or something like that.
I'm just confused, honestly. Are we trying to make it a made-for-TV gimmick? I thought they wanted it to be a competitive game. I thought they were they wanted.
But there's no way to make it a competitive
football
game
for fun,
right? But that's what they're doing. They've made it a gimmick all week,
right,
and then they want people to try on Sunday. They're not going
to
try.
You cannot play the game of football.
Nor should they, by the way.
No, I agree with you. They're not going
to
try.
If they were doing this leading up to an event, I'd be fine with the whole thing. But I feel like it's a mixed message. We want a competitive game on Sunday, but we're going to make it a total gimmick the whole week leading up to.
Right.
Just make the whole thing a gimmick. Make the whole thing fun, made for TV with segments and skits and however you want to do it. But don't try to tell me at the end you're not going to have a competitive football game.
No, they're not going to have that. I will. I mean, I don't hate Deion. Like, I kind of separate. I don't like Deion.
He's a fraud.
This whole like
a major
shady businessman type
and that
thing.
Too. Yeah,
I don't like that.
I just think his
piece of these guys in this. These camps and stuff that he sort of has his hands in a lot of jars. I don't like that.
It just
I don't like
like
that whole aspect. But I love him on TV. I think he's
so
very
about Deion. Everything has to
absolutely
be about him.
Yeah, absolutely.
Everything.
And somehow he's gotten people there to buy in big time.
Oh yeah.
Remember the whole Leon Sandcastle crap
that was
disgusting. He just said last week there isn't a day that goes by that I don't get some tweet that mentions Leon Sandcastle. I mean, he wants it to live on.
Maybe
I don't like
Leon Sandcastle was an effing mistake by the league.
Right,
does that count?
Yeah.
You know?
What were you thinking with Leon Sandcastle?
Whose dumb idea was Leon Sandcastle?
I guarantee you he's going to dress up like Leon Sandcastle.
Probably.
And come back to the
media
combine
day
again?
Or go to that Pro Bowl.
The Pro Bowl. Right.
I guarantee, you know.
And they've also, in the slight things I've seen, Jerry Rice is just overmatched. He's not a P.T. Barnum opposite of Deion. You need another player who has that Mike ability that
yeah, you put Michael Irvin on the other
yeah,
side.
Somebody. You gotta have something. Jerry can't think. He's overmatched. He's terrible.
Yeah.
Terrible.
I'm just thinking as you did that.
Andrew from Tempe, Arizona has a really good point. He says, I'm still disappointed that we lost the AFC Championship. However, in a way, I'm glad because now Andy won't get to take a picture of our Super Bowl ring on his schlong.
That wasn't actually going to do that. That was a promise that Andy made.
He was going to do that. Yeah.
I don't remember promising. I don't remember exactly how this all came about. I remember saying something dumb, but.
Yeah.
It's always on his mind.
All right. Anything else before we get to the emails and phones and all that stuff? Just so people know, a little inside stuff here. The Patriots are doing some construction to Gillette Stadium to increase the size of the football operations.
It's a pretty massive
operation. They're gutting everything except for the locker room, weight room, and cafeteria, which they upgraded last year. But everything else, the training facilities, all the coaches' offices, the film room, everything's being expanded and improved. And so in the meantime, they've moved all the coaches into the media workroom.
Mm.
So it's a, you know, they're kind of working out of boxes at this point.
Where Andy gets his coffee. Yeah, Andy can't get his coffee anymore.
Right. No Keurig.
So there's a lot of upheaval here, and the coaches are having to kind of.
Luckily, they don't have as many coaches to move.
Right.
Yeah, as Eric and I would
drop it like flies.
Brian Flores came out of the room and was, you know, kind of walking with us through the conquest. Yeah, I almost said.
Pretty lonely down there.
Good day. No one left today. Yeah. I don't really know him that well. So.
He did say hi to us, though.
He did say hi.
Unsolicited.
So we had that going for him.
All right.
You know, if it was Matt Patricia, I would have said something.
Right, yeah.
Or Dable.
Mm.
Or one of the guys I know. Yeah, Josh, I would have said something.
All right.
Are you worried at all about the coaching changes?
A little bit.
You are.
I am.
I'm not. It happens every year.
Yeah, but you don't lose Dante Scarnecchia every year.
Yeah, but they knew it was coming.
That's fine. It wasn't a surprise. Yeah. I also know that the end of the Brady Belichick era is coming. It's not going to be pretty. Just like I don't think it's going to be pretty, this change to this new guy.
Yeah, but
I have too much respect for Dante to say he's
replaceable. That's a Robert Kraft problem. Yeah. But as far as Belichick and his operation, they were planning for Dante leaving.
They planned for Weiss and Cornell to leave too, and
they planned for Welker leaving too. Didn't work.
Wasn't great.
I don't know how you can. In one sense, you can't have it both ways. Either he is a legend of a coach who deserves a boatload of credit for the success that this offensive line has had for a decade plus. Or he's utterly replaceable? I mean,
if you're asking if we think they're going to treat him
like you treated Wes Welker. What do you have, 4 touchdowns?
You know,
this is a coaching legend.
It was 30 years. He only went to the Super Bowl 7 times.
Right. I mean, how ridiculous. He turned Joe Andruzzi and Saleh Assaye into players.
Steve Neal.
The list is long.
Russ Hochstein. Tom Ashworth.
Yeah.
The guy who went to, the big boobed guy who went to Arizona.
Brandon Gorin.
Yeah.
I mean, the guy turned chicken
Greg
bleep
Robinson
into
Randall.
acceptable football talent
last year.
Yeah,
Adrian
four
Clem.
Centers.
Okay, so there's one he couldn't do it.
Was that 2 years ago?
But
or whatever.
I get your point.
Yeah.
We all get the point. The only one who doesn't get the point is this guy, who's disrespecting a legendary assistant head coach who is a staple of success in this organization.
I'm not overly worried.
And by the way, we replaced him with some guy who was out of football.
Is that what you? I mean, we don't think that it's going to all of a sudden go from 12-4 to 4-12 because you lost your longtime assistant.
Right. So what do you think is going to happen?
But I think that your coaching staff is not as good next year as it was last year.
Yeah, but I think they'll make up for that. I think
how?
Okay,
by promoting some young guy from within again.
Maybe the personnel of the team will be healthier and you'll be better.
Yeah.
But your coaching is not as good next year as it is this year.
Sure. In that position, yeah.
And that's a valuable position. He's also your assistant head coach.
Yeah, exactly.
Which, by the way, opens up the door.
But are you worried that Pepper left and Godsey left?
I don't know as much about Godsey, but I think Pepper had a defined role with his team, and I worry if they've lost that fire. I think George Godsey is a good young coach.
Right.
Pepper, to me, had a very distinct role, and Andy and I talked about it for our TV show, which, by the way, you want to catch the season finale
tonight
on Comcast Sportsnet.
7:30.
I just thought...
We won't talk about Dante. That happened after the taping.
That ex-player aspect of it in the role of just, you know, the fire and brimstone that he brought. You know, like he had
dirty
those,
show squad.
He had the
those
scout
steak
team.
Dinners.
That stuff, I think that you need that. Now, that doesn't mean that no one can come in and replace it. Maybe they will find the guy that replaces him. You know, maybe Dave
DeGuglielmo.
Could be that kind of a fiery guy and you know, that.
Why was he out of football last year?
I don't know. I'm just saying.
I'm just asking. I want to know why he was out of football last year.
To me, I think it's inarguable. Your coaching staff is not going to be as good in 2014 as it was in 2013.
Well, yeah, that's not
I think it's inarguable.
You can't remove 32 years of experience and say we're going to be just as good.
Doesn't mean I think they're going to go 4-12 next year. They'll probably not be affected in their one loss record because Belichick and Brady are still there.
Now, I don't
know. Those are the only two things that will affect your record.
I don't have any idea on the personal day-to-day relationship between Dante Scarnecchi and Bill Belichick, but he was a 30-year veteran who was the assistant head coach. He filled in when Bill's father passed away, so he had a lot of respect. You're losing a voice, and we've talked so many times over the years. People willing to challenge Belichick, people with the cachet to challenge Belichick, question him. You're losing another one of those. And I would
well,
put
do
pepper
you know
in that
he
category.
Challenged him?
I don't. I started with that. I started with that. That's why I led with that. But you're losing a guy who would do that, I think, for a guy who probably won't, at least initially. I don't care how much of a hothead he is. I find it hard to believe week one, Belichick draws up the game plan and Coach D says, oh, that's idiotic. This is the dumbest thing I've ever seen.
Well,
that's why he was out of football last year.
I mean, a lot of people think, even with Scarnecchia, that's been a problem.
Exactly, Fred. I don't think there's any other way to look at it.
So that doesn't change.
He had a couple
it gets
of
worse.
Yesterday.
It gets worse, though, potentially. Mm. You lost the most veteran coach on the roster, and I would argue you also lost Pepper, who my guess is on occasion voiced his. You can't be with somebody for 26 years, be an emotional guy, and keep your zipped every time.
And
he
listening
says
to Bill talk about it yesterday, you know, it wasn't just that he was a player; he was a player in this defensive system for all those years. There's no, you can't put a price on that.
Exactly,
you can't quantify it. How important that was for Dante Hightower to be able to listen to Pepper Johnson say, I know what you have to do because I did it for X amount of years in this very same system.
I'm worried.
Just like it was, you know, we talked to Patricia a few years ago for features that we were doing when we got all those assistant coaches, and he was still relatively new at the time. He was coaching linebackers, I think, at that point, and had never played the position. But one of the things we asked was, you know, you've never played the position as opposed to a guy like Pepper, who not only played the position but did it in this defense, and was saying, how do you, and you're younger than some of the guys you're coaching,
right?
How do you get the respect from a veteran who's done it from somebody who, like you, who never has? And that takes work. You don't just come in and all of a sudden get the cachet of, okay, I'm a coach, you have to listen to me.
No.
So that's a little bit of the reason why I'm a little bit worried about the change. Not, I don't know if worried is the right word, but
concerned?
Yeah, I guess.
It's something to be aware of.
It's certainly not something to be overly optimistic about.
Well, they're going to have to bring guys in. I mean,
do they?
I think so. Yeah.
They could just promote Steve Belichick and whoever the other guy was.
Szaplinski.
Yeah. Right? I mean, they've done enough.
Jerry Szaplinski.
Was that right?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
And as you like to point out, they have the smallest staff generally.
Don't ask me in 10 minutes.
In the
league. They do.
So you're pulling the most experienced veteran coaches off of the smallest staff. That's concerning to me.
Okay.
Chin's out.
It's a little concerning to me.
And the other thing with Godsey, if he were, like, he was a quarterback in college.
Yep.
He's basically a play caller, signal caller. That's his thing. Like, you can replace a tight ends coach, I think, a lot easier than you could. Like, if he were the OC in waiting, or if he were the OC, or even the quarterbacks coach, I'd be a little bit more concerned about his imminent departure.
Yeah,
but
I'm not as worried. I totally get what you're saying. The reason why I think that Godsey is, I think that he was the next one of these sort of younger guys that was kind of being groomed for stuff. You know, for bigger roles. And if you lose, it doesn't look like you're going to lose McDaniels now. You know, he withdrew from Cleveland, and I know that he sort of continues to be tied to that job. So
yeah.
I don't know if there's something that's changed there. But to me, Godsey was a guy that was sort of on the rise. You know, even within the Patriots coaching ranks, like that maybe they said, this is a young guy. I think there's a reason Bill blocked him from leaving. I think he probably felt like, he's under contract and he's a good coach on my staff, and I'm not going to let him go because I think there's some value there. So I agree with Eric. I don't think that that's anywhere near what we're talking about with Dante and probably even Pepper, but I do think potentially he could be a good coach, and you lost a good young coach.
Mm-hmm.
I also just think, like, defensively, we like Patricia, but he is much criticized by fans.
Yeah.
And then beyond that, they're very nondescript offensive. Patrick Graham, Josh Boyer, we only know him because he went fishing with Eric. You know, Brian Flores. I mean, there's not much to point to on what people believe is still the weakness of the team.
Maybe they'll bring back Corin Brown.
No, Schwartzy. Schwartzy is going to come and be the assistant
head coach. I think that would make me feel better to have a guy like that.
Then you got your hothead, too.
Shiano?
No, I mean, Schwartzy.
Yeah, hothead. Oh,
yeah.
Back.
Yeah, but if you bring Shiano in, you got plenty of hotheads to go
like
around.
But like a veteran guy who has some experience, and Schwartz makes a lot of sense because of his connection to Belichick. And Shiano, obviously, you know, maybe to Andy's point, guys with defensive backgrounds.
And you can both pay them very little because they're under contract as head coaches.
Once they get hired, does that. No. They still get that money.
So they're getting paid no matter what. So you can offer them, you know, $100,000.
Which sort of like when Don Capers came in, right?
Yeah.
Dom, too.
Yeah. Dom Capers.
Dom.
Although different in that both of them are longtime Belichick guys.
Yeah.
Not whatever the Capers situation was. And I know a lot of people have different theories, but these
suspension
are.
Suspension insurance?
Yeah. I mean, Schwartz is a Belichick guy who he tried to bring here early on in 2000-2001 at some point, and has a great relationship. You know, he's called him one of the smartest coaches he's ever been around.
Yeah.
And we know, you know, right up until recently.
And I don't know how Shiano great they would be, but those two, you know, one of those two guys or both of those guys would certainly make me feel better.
Is Shiano an O-line coach?
As experienced guys. I don't know if his – I thought he was more of a defensive guy, wasn't he?
I don't know.
I don't remember what he did.
I know he has some experience with linebackers, but that might have been a while ago. I mean, let's face it. These guys have coached virtually every position. When you work your way up.
Well, it's like Dante. He's an O-line coach for like
15 years, but he did a lot of stuff.
Almost as many years doing other stuff.
I mean, my first memories of him growing up watching the Patriots is he was a special teams coach. You know, that's back to like probably the early 90s.
Well, yeah, that's when he filled in for one of them.
Yeah,
right?
he was the head coach. Yeah, I went on a tirade about that. You need someone to fill in as the interim head coach. You know, most teams, like, you know, the offensive coordinator takes over while the head coach or the defensive. The Patriots going 1-15, the special teams coach takes over.
Wait, you went on a tirade at that time?
Yeah. Yeah.
In the early 90s, Paul Perillo. Him and Jim Digliasora in line were fighting.
We were so
one about
bad.
The food and one about the Patriots.
We were just so bad, though.
All right, let's get to the phones. Eldridge is in North Carolina. Hey, Eldridge.
Hey, fellas. How y'all doing?
Good.
Great.
Me too. Trying to get over a heart attack, but I'm good.
Yeah. What was that?
What?
Heart attack, but we didn't go to the Super Bowl.
Oh.
See, we thought you were being serious.
Yeah, don't
I thought
don't
a deer ran in front of the truck, you jammed on the brakes, nearly died.
Still here.
Again. Pay attention to the road.
Seriously.
Well, I'm parked right now because I've been eating some lunch.
Oh, what'd you get?
Stopped at Sonny's Barbecue.
Shoney's.
Got me half rib and chicken with some baked beans and some potato salad.
Ooh, nice. Wow. That cab's going to be a warm one later.
You're not driving it.
Oh, he'll be
he'll be lighting it up. Lighting it up.
No, the job I got keeps me slim. The one I got now. So, yeah, I got to drive and unload. So.
Oh.
So I'm good with that. It'll give me an appetite, but that's about it. But what I'm concerned about is what y'all are concerned about. That's that the coaching changes, you know, and how it's going to affect everything. And if Josh leaves, I think that might be catastrophic too. You know what I mean?
Catastrophic? I thought everyone didn't like Josh.
I like Josh, but some play calls sometimes, I wonder.
You also have to replace him. Whether you like him or not, who would replace him? Well, who's
Brian
calling
Dable.
Plays?
I think Dable would be the obvious choice.
Do you like him?
I don't know. I mean, he's never been. Well, he's been an OC at Cleveland.
Yeah, three different places.
Three different places.
Cleveland,
Miami
Kansas City.
Kansas City.
I mean, you know.
Cleveland beat us.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
He was the OC.
Yeah,
there,
he was. Right. Yep. He was all excited.
The trick play. Remember that crap at the goal line and everything?
Chauncey Stuckey.
Peyton Hillis.
Yeah.
So now I don't know why it feels like he did on them press conferences because I heard it from y'all about the coaches leaving. I didn't know the coach was leaving until I saw it on my phone. You know, that the line coach gone, Pepper's gone. Mm-hmm. And
maybe Gotsy
he wasn't like that. Yeah, because he said he had to do a certain way of thinking, and that shocked me. You know, especially coming to players, he was talking about players, reevaluating the whole team and everything. So I'm like, okay, maybe it's trying to hit you when you play somebody that got a powerhouse. You got to have the same thing to fight, and you know, you can't bring a knife to a gunfight. You got to bring a gun. Okay. Friday night.
And, or just run.
Maybe this is what he's thinking. I'm hoping anyway. That maybe this time you listen to some draft experts instead of his expertise. You know, that's what I'm hoping.
Well, we haven't heard of any changes in the personnel department at this point.
No,
we usually don't hear about those right away.
Right.
Yeah.
We don't hear about those until
you get the media guy and you're like, who's this guy?
Yeah, I'm putting together the yearbook and I ask for the list of the scouts.
We would have heard about the one who went to Atlanta. If Pioli had come back instead of going to Atlanta, we would have heard about it.
Oh, yeah.
From him.
Yeah.
Right. he would have announced it.
Chest held high.
I want to ask y'all one more question. I want y'all to discuss it. I can hear it later on the podcast.
Yep.
But, okay. That guy for NFL Network, Scapino, and then he asked a question to, LeVar Arrington, E.G., and Terrell Davis.
Yeah.
Since the loss to the AFC Championship, does this affect Brady's legacy?
No.
You know what I mean? Do you want to know, does it affect it?
No, I don't think so.
Not adversely. It could have improved it,
thanks,
but it doesn't.
Oh, yeah.
Ooh, he lost a title game to Peyton Manning in Denver. Oh, my God.
It's not like he's not going to be a first ballot Hall.
Yeah, either. I don't
think. He was, but now he's not.
Yeah, now he's not. Yeah.
I don't think you can take that away, can you? Can you be a first ballot Hall of Famer and then not be a first ballot Hall of Famer?
Well,
kill somebody or something.
Well.
Bad example, but.
Yeah.
You know what I mean.
In light of recent events.
Alleged.
Let's go to Noel in Denver. Hey, Noel.
Alleged.
Hey, guys. How you doing today?
Good.
Doing great, Noel. How are you?
Fred, great meeting you, Fred. Hope all is well with everyone.
Yep. Nice meeting you, too, at the party.
Katie Mullins was fun. Ann Stone is tremendous.
Yep.
And
she's wicked awesome.
Huh? What's that?
She's wicked awesome.
It was great. By the way, for those who are a little disappointed about that game, and I'm sure a lot of us are, I wish for a closer game. How about these guys that flew out here with his son from England to see it?
Yeah.
They must be real disappointed.
I know.
Yeah, it sucks.
You know, looking at it, I feel that, you know, I've lobbied for John Abraham all year long. And would that have made a difference in this game, do you think?
I think it would have made a difference all season.
All season, yeah.
Ended up with 14 sacks with Arizona. I mean, yeah, I think he would have made a difference.
Mm-hmm.
Especially when you're playing seven games decided by a field goal or less. I mean, a sack, a pass rush, and one of those.
And a lot of times they went, you know, earlier in the season, not so much later, but earlier in the season they were doing that three defensive end thing where Chandler Jones was playing tackle.
Yep.
If you've got Ninko and Abraham on the ends and Jones in the middle.
Or maybe just less reps.
Or maybe just,
right? Jones really faded down the stretch. Maybe just if you're getting some reps for Abraham, he doesn't fade. He's got a little more spark late in the year, so he's not so irrelevant.
He's a good player, and you can always use good players.
Thanks,
maybe we can pick up Jared Allen this year.
I'll take him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think they need talent.
Isn't he available or in some form
he's
or fashion?
Agent.
He's going to be a free agent.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I would definitely take him. I don't think there's any chance they'll get him, but I would
definitely take him. His legs got a little skinny, but I think he's still pretty good.
I got a couple
Lawrence
of
Taylor had skinny legs.
And I listen online, guys, and I appreciate it. And I enjoy your show very much. Thank you so much. And the initial play calling was a little weak to me coming out there. I didn't see the defense play with as much intensity as they had before. I don't know what the reason for that is, but the creativity in the early play calling wasn't that good, I don't think. And I think we need to get up this year. We need to find not only a pass rusher, but a real deep threat to help Tom out. I mean, he's still a fabulous quarterback, and I'm really looking forward to this year coming up.
We all are. All right, thanks, Noel. Okay. It's funny how everyone has a different opinion. Some people think they were trying to be too smart with the play calling, too creative, instead of just hand the ball off and go to Julian Edelman and Amendola, you know, instead of Matthew Mulligan and Matthew Slater.
Well, who they passed to is a different story, but I think that the game plan going into the game, just my opinion, I think it was dead on. I think it's exactly the game plan that you needed to have. You needed to come out, spread them out a little bit, and try to throw. I would not have been throwing the ball downfield on 3rd and 3 to Matthew Slater. But that's on Tom. That's not on the game plan. That's Tom.
Right.
He had Danny Amendola on that play across the middle, wide open. We had we saw the photos of it yesterday, Fred. He's got to, you know, even if the number one option on that play is to, he's got to see that Slater was covered.
Yeah.
You're not throwing the ball up to Calvin Johnson saying it's one-on-one. I'm going to have my guy go up and make a play.
Well, John Gruden, you remember what he said.
Yeah. Matthew Slater's on the field.
You don't cover him?
I do think there was an element of, you know, let's try to trick him here with that.
Right.
But I do think that if you wanted to come out and just do what you did against Indianapolis and run the ball 3 out of every 4 plays, you would not have succeeded. And I would have been very critical of that, especially after watching what San Diego had done the week before. And they waited far too long to get out of that. We're just going to run Ryan Matthews into the gut of the defense game plan, and it was too late. And I think the Patriots knew that they were going to need to score points, and they weren't going to score points just by running Blount and Ridley between the tackles.
Let's go to Mike in Jersey. Hey, Mike.
Hey, what's up, guys?
What's up?
So I wanted to ask about Ernie Adams. I wanted to see what you guys know about this guy, what his deal is, how come no one ever talks about him, just whatever you guys know.
Well, he's completely unaccessible to the media.
Why is that?
It's by design. They don't want him talking. He's not a position coach, so they see no reason for him to talk to the media. But he is, I think, critical to Bill's operation. I think he leans on Ernie for, you know, insight, whether it's advanced scouting, tips, you know, before the games. You always see Ernie, you know, lined up watching the other team warm up, looking at the formations, looking at who's lining up against who. And, you know, and I'm sure that he's doing that for a reason. It's just not a hobby for him. He's going back and reporting and giving some insight like, hey, you know, I saw so-and-so, you know, we hadn't seen that on film, but they did it in warm-ups or, you know, so he's doing all that kind of stuff for Bill. And I guess he's really, really good at it. And
I consider him Rain Man. I consider him Rain Man to Tom Cruise.
And they've known each other forever.
Yeah,
you know, so he trusts. He has a trust that,
since high school.
Yeah, they have a trust that,
and he is a former assistant coach. He does have a coaching background. Who's now evolved more into this research booth and that analytics type role.
He works on Wall Street.
What's that?
He works on Wall Street too, so he's a numbers guy.
Oh yeah. Well, but he's a coach. He started out as a coach.
I heard,
and then went to the numbers.
He's a prolific day trader.
Yeah, he was on Chuck Fairbanks' staff way back in the mid-70s here in Foxborough.
Yeah. Yeah. I think he's Rain Man, personally. I really think he's Rain Man. And Tom Cruise was the front man. Belichick's the front man.
And, you know, Fred and I have also had opportunities, Mike, to hear him talk about players from the past when Fred and I are involved in some of the Hall of Fame stuff here. And listening to him, Fred, I think you agree.
Oh, yeah.
Listening to him talk about individual players that played, you know, in some cases 20, 30 years ago, the depth of detail that he goes in on a guy like Leon Gray, for example, is amazing.
Yeah.
You know, I think the guy, like Andy said, he's Rain Man.
I wish we could talk to him more because he has a lot to say.
How are his social skills? Is he completely there, or is he like an Asperger's, like a Rain Man?
Yeah. I don't know about that.
I don't really think he's that.
I don't take it to the literal level, but no, he's not the most social guy that you'll ever come across. If that's what you're asking.
How many of those guys are? When you're considered like an analytics guy, you're usually not the life of the party, outgoing social guy.
Right.
There's a reason. You know, those things all kind of go together. Like a receiver is a diva. It always just seems to kind of go together.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Thanks a lot, guys.
All right, Mike.
All right.
Interesting question by Mike from Jersey. Let's go to the most hated Patriots caller in the world, Joel in Atlanta. Hey, Joel.
Really?
Hey, guys. What's going on, Fred, Andy, Paul? What's going on with the snow?
Eric's here, too.
It's cold and it's wet.
Now I see why he's the most hated caller.
There you go.
Hey, guys, I'm going to turn that around next season. I'm going to be the most liked Patriots caller.
Okay. No, you won't.
Well, you have a long way to go.
Start by getting everyone's name.
Hey, come on now. Don't get on me about that. But no.
I'm getting on me about ignoring somebody. No, I won't do that.
Come on now. But Eric, you know, we share some, you know, similar thoughts about, you know, the season.
That's such why you're both hated.
Do tell.
No, I just had a question for you guys. I was just looking at the next season, who the Patriots are going to play, and I'm just looking at, there might be one game we might lose. It might be against the Broncos, but I think we might be 15-1 next season. What's your guys' thoughts on that?
I think right now you have as much chance of being 15-1 as you have 8-8. So anything can happen. There's a lot of things to go between now and then.
Jeez, Fred, just shoot me down.
Well, I think
you don't even know what the team's going
to
look
crazy
like.
You don't even have rosters right now. You know,
you haven't drafted anybody. You haven't signed any free agents.
It's bad enough when we do this exercise on like September 1st.
Right.
We don't even know who's on the team.
I'll tell you what. If they acquire Larry Fitzgerald, they get Jared Allen. If they do,
and
a bunch
all
of those
the
things,
other teams lose all of their good players,
then yes,
then they can go 15.
I think they might go 16-0.
It's just too early to worry about 2014 record right now.
Well, I can understand that, Fred, but I mean, we went 12-4 with the team that we have now. So you don't think Belichick?
But you don't know what.
But
the
you don't
team
know what the other
have.
Teams are going to have.
Is
and
Julian
you don't know
Edelman
going to
be on the team? You don't know. You know what happens if Julian Edelman walks?
They also got
what
really,
happens if Talib's
really
not here?
Lucky winning 12.
You know, so you know what happens if Gronkowski's injury is worse than we knew. You know, there's a lot of questions that
and,
still
and if
need
all
to
those
answer.
Guys come back, what happens if all the other teams' guys come back?
Fred, Paul, Eric, and Andy will all suit up for the Patriots, and we're going to go for the Super Bowl run next season.
Okay.
How about that?
All right. Well, okay. So as long as we're staying in reality, that's fine. All right. Thanks, Joe. Let's go to Melvin in Tennessee. Hey, Melvin.
Hey, what's going on, y'all?
How you doing?
Pretty good. Pretty good. I know it. Kind of towards this time last year, we were talking about the new receivers and stuff that we were possibly going to get, and we focused on the draft. So I remember Paul saying, I can't wait to hear this one, but talking about Cordell Patterson, and we, of course, didn't think he was going to be available late in the draft, but he is going to be, I guess, that guy that we were thinking about that would be in comparison to Patterson versus Dobson and Boyd. So,
Melvin, you're right. You're right. Yeah, I was wrong. Absolutely. He's been better so far than I thought he was going to be.
Yeah, and I didn't think Hunter was all that good, and other than a couple of jump balls, I mean, that's all that he's good for, in my opinion. But would you still rather? I mean, although Cordell Patterson is good, I saw him be electric, which I kind of figured he would be. I still like Dawson, to be honest. Dawson was, I mean, towards the middle of the season, I thought he came along, and I still got this whole project with Boyce that. We really didn't get a chance to see this year yet. So, would you all think that, would you rather have Patterson now or at the conclusion? You know, it's early to say, but your initial thoughts, would you rather have Patterson versus, you know, maybe a Patterson and Tompkins versus, a Boyce, Dobson and Tompkins?
Well, who did they pick?
I'd rather have Patterson, but it's not an either-or thing because you took Boyce in the fourth round. You could have taken Patterson and still gotten Boyce.
Right.
It's not like getting one of those guys eliminated the others. You know, I think that they chose to wait on not taking Patterson to get another guy, and that guy was Dobson. To me, it's Dobson or Patterson. But even then, you know, you could have done whatever you wanted. I didn't think Patterson was as good coming out of college as, you know, listen, it's only 1 year. We've had a lot of guys that come in, they're flashes. And he's also an athlete right now. He's better than I thought he was.
He has not been a polished receiver. No. It was like late plays. November and he had like six catches.
Yeah, but
he's
that's
a
also,
playmaker.
That also part of that, you have to look at the complete dysfunction they've
but
had
on
offense.
But you don't know what he's going to be. He's now your 80-catch Pro Bowl receiver. You know he's an athlete. When you get the ball in his hands, he can run with it. He can make some plays with it as a returner, ends around.
Do you think that Aaron Dobson is that kind of a dynamic athlete to do some of the things that Patterson has done?
I think there's been times when Dobson has shown the ability to go down the field and make a play on the ball and do some of that kind of stuff. I think as just a pure receiver, the jury is out on both of them.
Oh, yeah. That's 1 year. Boyce is basically a redshirt. I mean, he didn't really have enough opportunities.
And Boyce could be like Patterson. He could be your athlete,
throw him in there. But you could have gotten Patterson and Boyce.
Right.
Or Keenan Allen and Boyce. Or whoever other receiver that had a better rookie year than Dobson and Tompkins.
I just thought we really gambled with the other receiver because we know we traded a pick and got all those extra picks. That's what I was saying, you know, with the addition.
Yeah. Did they get a lot of extra picks last year?
I think they traded that one pick for like four picks, if I'm not mistaken, right?
They ended up getting a lot of late extra picks.
I don't remember it like that.
Wowie.
Yeah.
If you're asking the question, I would rather have Patterson now because I think that he potentially can be really, really good. And I was wrong. I didn't see that. I was not. That's definite 2020 hindsight on my side because I didn't see that kind of dynamic potential that he has shown so far.
Yeah, and I think thanks, Melvin. I think Paul, you're right. I think. If we're looking at the guys that they did take and who out of those might emerge, it's Dobson. Dobson's the guy that I think has the most potential out of the three.
Oh, God, yeah.
Tompkins.
Oh, sure.
Boyce.
I think there's a chance Tompkins is not on the team next year.
Yeah. I think there's a really good chance.
He went from being your number one receiver for some portion of the early season to not being on the team next year.
If you do what Fred says.
Because if you're going to upgrade, well, somebody's got to go. You can't keep everybody if you're trying to upgrade the receiver position.
Yeah. And look, just like Fred's little plan, you know, you go out and you get an Emmanuel Sanders for Fred's little pet.
I thought we were upgrading.
You get Edelman back.
Larry Fitzgerald Jr.
You assume that Amendola stays, you know, with the contract, although I don't think that's a lock. Like some people said, look, the contract makes it a lock. I don't think it's a lock.
They won't cut him.
I think he'll be back because I think that they need him.
Plus, they won't admit a mistake like that quickly.
That's how I feel about it, although, you know, never mind.
No, don't never mind. It's radio. It's better when you talk.
There's a scenario with all those guys, if they're all there, and then maybe you draft another guy or you
take another guy
in addition to Sanders. Please. Someone's got to go.
Right. And, well, Edelman may go, so you get a spot.
Well, I'm saying if Edelman came back, I could easily see Tompkins not making a team.
Colley's going to go.
Would Colley go over Tompkins?
Not in my opinion,
at this
probably.
Point,
I'm not
no.
sure. You know, if they had him for a whole year in the offseason program, and you know, I'm not saying. I'm just saying. I think they might like Colley.
He's the only. I guess except Edelman, he's the only receiver they had this year that didn't get injured. Colley.
He did get injured. That's why he got cut at one point.
Oh, he did get injured.
He hurt his knee and they cut him.
And he also played about 40 plays.
Well, it's kind of a joke.
He didn't have the concussion.
No, I know, but he did get hurt.
I would not invest in him.
The ironic part is he actually did hurt his knee.
And by invest, I mean time-wise. With the concussions and everything, he would not be
Give
in
him
my,
a year deal.
No, it would be a
one-year
deal.
He'll be on my Dion Branch.
One-year veteran minimum.
No, but I'm not even investing. I'm going to be hesitant to open the year with him among my five receivers because I worry about him getting hurt, and then if
keep
I
him
count
on speed
on
dial,
him, yeah, he'd be a speed dial guy. I'd tell him to live in Foxborough and be ready.
Well, roster.
But it would be interesting to see what they thought of the three rookies too in that regard, though, because those guys were all three in and out of the lineup for various reasons, and you wondered, you know, do you look at that and say, you know, Kenbrell Tompkins, he's not reliable, or oh, all right, well, the kid had a couple of bumps and bruises that slowed his progress down, but overall, we still think he can be a player, and they know that how they feel about that. More than we do, maybe he's a guy that they don't want to go in as one of the five guys because they don't know if they can rely on him.
Or if he can catch.
It's part of being
reliable. Or if he cannot do the Brandon Lloyd and make every play that's thrown his direction look strange.
But you see this, Eric?
We saw that,
They're showing the guys coming in on the parachutes at Mile High Stadium. They came in really fast.
Oh, yeah.
Hot.
Came in hot.
Yeah.
So they waited to make sure they lived before they showed
Kind of like our landing when we came back.
We were fishtailing on the runway. Yeah.
Well, that's good.
White knuckles for no socks.
Oh, yeah. He hates to fly.
Not a good flyer.
Well, if the plane is fishtailing, I'm going to be white-knuckling, too.
Jeff at
Planes aren't supposed to fishtail.
Hey, Jeff.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Good.
Hey, Andy, next time Paul says he doesn't want to talk, please let him sit there.
Wow.
Oh, I like it.
Let him not talk, you
mean? I mean, I'm saying but I'm saying.
Wow. Oh, you're saying, wants to fight you right now. He's stopping in Sudbury on the way home.
And I was just saying.
I'm not saying, I'm just saying.
We don't let people like Paul in Sudbury.
No, you ain't lying about that. You don't let anybody in Sudbury.
Yeah, but you do let people
we
like Burt Breer.
Tony Mazz.
But I do know that when tragedy strikes at Lincoln Sudbury High School, if it can happen there, it can happen anywhere.
All right, you got us. You got us.
Did I see Tom Curran talk to Dante?
Yeah.
How?
And so did Reese.
Everybody did.
Oh.
Except for PFW.
I didn't really try to.
Reese did, and
no, he's not coaching.
I assume
it was to talk to the media.
Because Tom just,
you know,
I mean, started tweeting out quotes from him randomly.
The Herald did, too. I don't know if it was Karen or Borges. Either one of those two.
Oh, Karen is his
favorite. Easily could have talked to him, though.
But Karen, I mean.
Yeah, he loves Karen.
That's his favorite.
But they had a co-byline with quotes from Dante today, and it could have been either one of them. Because they both have a very good relationship with Dante. And Mike Reese had quotes from him as well.
Yep.
I'd like to sit down and...
He's going
to
do a media tour now.
I'd like to sit down
anymore.
And do a nice retrospective kind of feature on him if we could.
Yeah.
Go hang with him at
maybe
beach
now,
house.
You know, he's
go paddleboarding with him.
Yeah.
He was always very, very tight-lipped. You know, maybe now that he's gone, maybe you'll hear some stories.
Well, the funny part is he was always very good
Tremendous.
At the media when he did speak. He just didn't really enjoy speaking with the media.
Right. Right. He never wanted it to be about him. You know, he always wanted to be in the background.
So. Now's his time.
Because you would think if he wanted to, if he put his name out there somewhere over the last 30 years, he could have gotten a head coaching job, probably.
Probably.
You know?
Unless there was a specific reason not that we don't know about. But
I think he just wanted to stay around here. He liked it around here. And, you know, he didn't have those type of aspirations. So
yeah, if you – I mean, that it takes the right person to acknowledge, I don't want to do press conferences. I don't want to be in the limelight. I don't want to be that.
Right.
I know my role. I like my role. This is the role I want.
Yeah. Web radio at Patriots.com, Brian in Essex, Vermont. So with Pepper Johnson leaving and now Scar retiring, do you see this a sign of a bigger effort to change things up for next year, or do you see this as people leaving before the ship sinks? I mean, don't get me wrong. I don't look at the Pats' current roster and see failure, but I did not see two veteran assistant coaches leaving, especially Scar.
Well, we've been talking about Scar for two-plus years
now.
Yeah.
And I don't think either one of those options I would go with. I don't think it's a sign of changing things up, and I don't think it's a sign of people jumping ship before it sinks.
I think it's just a natural evolution of a coaching roster.
He's 65.
Right.
That's usually the time when you retire, normal people. And
he's got plenty of money in
this job. At this job.
Just think about it. He hasn't moved in 30 years. He's got, you know, whatever $500,000 a year that he's tucking away into an account somewhere. I mean,
yeah. So Brian wants to know was it planned retirement or a shakeup? No, it was planned.
Planned.
Well, Dante certainly was planned.
I don't think Pepper might.
Probably not Pepper. Yeah. But
I think it was planned by Pepper.
Yeah, might have.
He wants to be a coordinator and a head coach.
I don't know how much Bill knew about that. Is my point.
I bet he knew.
Like Bill probably knew about Scar.
I bet it was in the top drawer somewhere.
And Brian thinks that Skarnecki deserves a spot in the Patriots Hall of Fame.
Agreed.
Yes.
Yeah, I think Brian tweeted that to me.
Yep.
Brian who?
Maury?
The emailer, Brian.
Oh.
Yeah, he should. But he's got to wait his 5 years, right?
Yeah.
Or do you not wait 5 years for a coach?
I believe it's four.
No, for
a coach. Oh, four for a coach?
Gil Santos went right in as a contributor.
Oh, that's a good point.
Oh, so coaches are contributors?
I don't know. I think coaching would be different, though, right?
Oh, that's right, because Parcells.
Yeah, Parcells had to wait.
Right, so he'd go in as a regular.
Are you dying over there?
I have a little bit of a
little
cold.
Bit of
cold.
Do you have a leak?
My nose is running.
My nose is bleeding.
Well, that's how he, I mean. Because you're not really, is it like pure liquid? Because you're not even really blowing it. It's just like you're patting the
when you have a runny nose, that's what it means.
Why does he have to describe?
No, because I rarely have a runny nose that would just flat out drip down my chin.
So do
like
I.
Fred.
But
when
right
you have
now
a cold,
it is.
Yeah, that's what
it's
happens.
Very rare. But if you want, I'll flick it on you.
You don't have to get angry.
I'm about to swear.
He has to describe the consistency of
just
his snot.
Painting a picture of the show. We don't have webcams, so people need to know.
I don't think anybody,
needed to know that.
Nasal passages.
They could tell in his voice he's a little under the weather. You don't need to.
Can you hear that?
He's got
a little
it
bit,
out.
A little bit.
Scott in the UK, there is only one good thing about the Patriots losing on Sunday. That is we get to hear the pointless banter in the offseason. It always makes me laugh. Quick question.
Here, during the season, don't
Scott Chandler is a free agent this year. Does he interest you? I think he could fit in nicely with our offense. What do you guys think?
Not bad.
Yeah.
He's all right.
What's the word? Doesn't move the needle?
Doesn't
My needle
move
doesn't
needle.
Move.
Better than Jake Ballard.
Oh, God, yeah. But, I mean, I'm looking for
this
them
This time
to
last
add...
year, we had no problems because we had Jake Ballard.
Mm.
Who's we?
Patriots.
Not we, me.
Okay.
Well, I thought you were painting me on a Ballard bandwagon, and I was
no.
the spring
I think
the
he's
Ballard.
Talking about a lot of the fans who were expecting Ballard to be the next coming
Paul,
of Gronk.
The fans are.
Yeah, well, but it's a good Stupid. Example. You know, they waited all that time for him. And as a fan, you're thinking, okay, there's a reason why they're willing to wait for this guy. And you factor him in as being a contributor, and he doesn't even...
He ended up playing for Arizona. Arizona, yeah.
Yeah, he played. He had two touchdowns, maybe one touchdown.
You know, but on this team, he didn't do anything.
Hindsight, you know? He might have done something on this team.
They cut him for the next great tight end, Zach Sudfeld.
I'm looking a little higher. I think that tight end is one of the top couple needs on this team.
Yep.
But I'm looking for like a legit pass catching option. You know, I don't want to, you know, Jimmy Graham is obviously off the radar. And obviously your boy Mickey Loomis said, obviously we're going to franchise him. He's not going to be available. But I think draft wise somewhere they need to add a playmaking type tight end to either
top couple
complement Gronk or I don't think Gronk's going to be back to Gronk. Maybe at all next year.
The beauty of this is Andy can continue to write and say that, you know, well, Gronkowski's back, but when are we going to see Gronk?
I have my doubts. You remember Wes Welker was not Wes Welker.
No, I agree.
He just didn't have a nickname that I could call to say he wasn't back.
And something else to keep in mind, and someone wrote this in one of the Ask PFWs, I think. look at how long it took him to come back from the arm this year. Like, he needed to be right, like completely right. Would you be stunned if...
Well, but we don't know if that was the back either.
No, I'm just saying how long it took him to come back. I mean, there was sort of some back and forth from week two on to week seven when he finally returned.
That was understandable, though, given the circumstances of the situation.
Right. Well, it would not be understandable if instead of being ready on week one...
He'll be fine. Andrews did it.
I think he'll be fine, too, but...
No, Rob Gronkowski physically. Gronk won't be fine.
Okay.
I guarantee you, you will
Fred,
not...
what are you wiping over there?
I am going to guarantee right now, guarantee you will not be wowed by a Rob Gronkowski play earlier than Thanksgiving. And I have my doubts, if at all. But not before Thanksgiving will you be wowed by a Rob Gronkowski play.
But I agree.
No chance.
The overall premise, I think a tight end, you know, first couple of rounds, I wouldn't be surprised.
Arthur Lynch, maybe?
No, I need a guy who can actually do the things that you say that you want.
He would make a good Gronk.
No, Arthur Lynch is a good mid-round
solid player.
Good mid-round guy.
I agree with you. I'm shooting higher on the playmaking list.
Yeah, I want a guy that maybe can make some plays in space. Maybe more replacing that Hernandez type, you know, minus the
baggage.
You know, baggage.
Which in the baggage, I mean, you know, handguns, assault rifles.
Michelle, she loves it when I call her Solata.
No, probably not.
I literally shed a tear or two when I heard Scarnecki retire.
Me too.
It wasn't that many seasons ago that he juggled five centers. Talk about genius. He'll be missed.
Four.
The more
but
I
he's
think,
retired now. It's a legend.
Yes, that's true.
It's six next week, right, just yes. So you know.
Yeah. The more I think about the loss, I've come to the following
all played
conclusion.
Guard for the 0-1 Patriots.
Previous years, I felt extremely sad for myself as a fan. This year, however, I feel so bad for the team. They fought so hard all season long, from Welker leaving to Hernandez to injury upon injury. I'm so looking forward to 2014. In the meantime, I'll be listening to you guys twice a week.
Nice.
That's great.
It does seem like 2014 can't be as bad as 13 was with all the crap.
Right? Can't have as many things happen.
And I'm not even just saying Hernandez, but Welker, Gronkowski, the in-season injuries. It just feels like it was a little snake bitten this year, and it can't be that bad moving forward.
I agree.
Right. Like, we're going to get
a lot.
Like, even the stupid stuff, like Abraham, he's here. He's not here. He signed. He's going to be here. He's not going to be here. I feel like next year that guy will be here.
Right.
That he'll actually end up a Patriot or whatever you're hoping for.
I do.
Last year was just a crap year.
You know what? Maybe there's something to the whole 13, because it was kind of a crappy year for the league as far as, you know, injuries and bad play among the good teams. You know what I mean? Yeah, maybe there's a little.
That's why buildings don't have that floor.
It's possible.
Should have just skipped the season.
They have sections, though, right? Aren't there sections in stadiums that have 13?
No, I mean like skyscrapers.
Yeah, yeah. Right. I know. But I mean like
bad luck.
Maybe we should start talking zodiac charts and things like that.
Do they have them on airplanes?
They have what?
Like a row 13?
I think so, but I don't really know.
Yeah.
Tell you in a month.
I think no sock sits in it. Let's go to Gary in New York on the Ace Ticket Hotline. Hey, Gary.
Hey, guys. How are you?
What's up?
You know, now that I finally have gotten over the loss to the Broncos, you know, I'm over the disappointment aspect, and I'm more into the frustration because for the past several years, we've had the same problems over and over on personnel, and really they haven't adequately addressed the problem. 2 years ago, we're in the Super Bowl against the Giants. We have Ocho Cinco and Deion Branch as our wideouts. We got Sterling Moore starting the Super Bowl as our cornerback. And it's the same problem year after year. So here's what I was looking at as far as personnel. I know you guys are talking about filling holes through the draft, but I think we're a now team, and I don't think through the draft is really going to work for them, because looking back since 2005, and the defensive backs, here are the top four-round picks from either the fourth round to the first round. Ellis Hobbs, James Sanders, didn't pan out. Brandon Merriweather, a first-round pick, didn't pan out. Terrence Wheatley and Jonathan Wilhite, second and fourth-round picks. Patrick Chung, second-round pick. Darius Butler, second-round pick. Razi Dowling, second-round pick. And in 2012, Tavon Wilson, second-round pick. And then on the wide receiver and tight ends, we've had Chad Jackson in the second round, Dave Thomas in the third round, Brandon Tate in the third round, Taylor Price in the third round, and last year, Aaron Dobson. So instead of wasting all those picks and taking a shot in the dark, there's a team out there, I think, that would fill two of our three needs. And we have a relationship with them, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
They're in the rebuild mode. They don't have a quarterback. How about offering them a first and a fifth round this year and a third round next year for Darrell Revis and Vincent Jackson? Revis is only 28 years old. Jackson's 31. He averaged almost 16 yards a catch this year. He's 6'5", 230, and can catch the deep ball. That would help stretch the offense. You'd have Edelman, hopefully, at the slot receiver, and maybe Amendola as the other wide receiver.
I'd love both of those players, but I don't think Tampa Bay would.
I would do that without even – you wouldn't even have to hang up the phone. I would be at the airport waiting.
You're basically gutting your team from your two biggest playmakers on both sides of the ball.
But, from a Patriots perspective.
Just ask yourself this, Gary.
Yeah.
Would you trade Vincent Jackson for a third and a fifth? Because that's basically what you're saying. You're saying Revis for a one and Vincent Jackson for a third and a fifth. No, if you were Tampa, would you trade Vincent Jackson for a third and a fifth round pick? No way.
He's 31 years old and they don't have a quarterback, and this is a good draft this year, so maybe they would. If you had to throw in another pick.
But they have a draft pick. They don't need your draft pick to draft a quarterback if they want. I actually think they're probably going to go into next year with Mike Glennon as their quarterback and see how where that takes them. I think they drastically underachieved last year.
What they also don't have is the trading partner
and that partner, they don't have that relationship
He's
anymore
not the coach
because
there.
The guy's gone.
Yeah.
The guys that you traded with are gone.
I thought the guy that they brought in as GM, doesn't he have a past relationship with the Patriots?
Jason Light? Is he down there?
Oh, he's a Patriot.
He's not the Tampa Bay Patriot.
Yeah. He came from the Patriots, yeah. That doesn't mean he wants to help the Patriots.
Yeah.
No, not necessarily, but you know.
Well, that trade would certainly help the Patriots.
That would definitely help.
Yeah, I think that I love the two players you mentioned.
Absolutely.
But
sure.
There's no way Tampa Bay would do that.
And I know a lot of people think Revis can be had because, you know, they're talking about, you know, Lovie Smith and the Tampa 2, and that's a waste for him, and if they do that, they're right. But I don't think that just means that they're going to be looking to give him away.
Yeah,
you know what they gave? They gave up a first and a third. So what if the Patriots gave up a first and a third back this year? I mean, I don't think that they really want Revis because of his contract.
Right, but you had a first, a third, and a fifth for Revis and Jackson.
It was a year. It's year to year,
right?
But because of that, you pay him a lot every year.
Yeah.
Instead of getting your bonus money out of the way, like Vincent Jackson's a more traditional deal, they'd have to eat that bonus money. For Revis, whoever acquires his contract,
right,
you're on the hook for. I forgot what it is, $12 million a year or $16 million
I could see the Patriots wanting to make a deal like that for Revis. Absolutely, Gary. But I don't think you're getting both of those for that.
If you had Revis at one corner and your franchise Tlaib this year, and then you go into next year with Revis and Tlaib as your corners.
You also have about $25 million.
I was going to say at least $20 million tied up in those two.
More than that.
It's not something that the Patriots generally do.
You're in the mid-20s.
I would do that, Gary. I absolutely would be in favor of doing
that. You know what? I would do it, too, because I figure Brady has two more years left in him. You get, after Brady retires, look at the Cowboys. It went from Staubach 20 years to Aikman. The Cowboys have won one playoff game since Aikman retired. Look at the Steelers after Bradshaw retired, how many years it took them to get back. And look at the Niners, how many years it took them after Steve Young retired. So I think once Tom Brady retires, we're looking at years ahead of us, unfortunately, before they get back to this position.
It's possible, yeah.
You and Charles Barkley agree.
Yeah, I would absolutely, the cap dollars wouldn't bother me at all. I would absolutely do that. But it's not something that I see the Patriots doing a lot of.
I don't see them doing. Do you think that there's any price tag you could put on it that the Bucs could do it?
I'd need two first-round picks.
I think you
this
could.
Year and next
I
year.
Think you could find a way to do
Wait,
it
for both those guys.
Well, yeah. and other picks, yeah. But two first-round picks would have to be involved because, like Paul said, they probably value each one of those guys as a first-round pick.
Yeah,
well, they are.
Yeah,
I wouldn't trade either one of those for anything less than a first-round pick.
Right.
If you're the Patriots, would you trade two first-round picks for those?
I might. I think you're getting better value back.
My pick this year is 29.
Now, Vincent Jackson obviously comes with some risk because of the whole off-field stuff and one strike away and that stuff, but I think
we're done here being New England, man.
I think you need
catching bombs.
I'm with
Brady.
You, Gary. I think you need that kind of a playmaker receiver. And certainly, if you had another cornerback of Revis's caliber, then
Why do you think it is that Belichick never pulls the trigger on this stuff? Or there's another thing: I'm watching the NFC Championship game, and I'm watching Chris Averill and Michael Bennett
Jason Kaepernick all over the field. Seattle has the number one defense last year. What do? They go out in free agency, and they sign Averill, and they sign Bennett.
Yeah.
We need a pass rush. I don't even think the Patriots looked at either of those two guys.
Well, I'll tell you one thing, that teams like Seattle, like San Francisco, they're in the good point right now. They don't have to pay their quarterback a lot of money. And when you don't have to pay your when you're paying your quarterback $685,000, that leaves somewhere in the range of $20 million for you to divvy elsewhere.
That's a good
point. Now, it'll come due at some point down the road where you have to re-sign Russell Wilson, Andrew Luck, Colin Kaepernick, and these guys. But right now, they're paying a third-round pick to lead their team.
Yeah, it's a really good point and shouldn't be overlooked, because that is a big element. I do like Gary's point, however, of Seattle had a really good pass rush, but that didn't stop them from going out and signing two more guys.
Right.
You know, they had, they already had Bruce Irvin that they took, I think, 15th overall just a couple of years ago. And that didn't stop them from going out and getting Bennett and getting Cliff Averill. And I think Gary makes a good point. But Andy can't be dismissed there, because you have the ability to sink more money into that spot. The Patriots, to me, failed in, I think they identified John Abraham, but they didn't get it done.
Right.
And I think you have to get it done.
And I don't think it would have been that much more to get it done. You know, so that's what.
But again, there's also been questions as to whether he wanted to have whatever role they
possibly
sort of slotted him
in. Yeah, it might not have been all money. All right, let's take a break. When we come back, Mandy's on the line and Colby's on the line. We'll get to that in more emails after this.
NFL Mobile from Verizon is perfect for a guy like me. At home or on the go, NFL Mobile keeps me connected to all the action across the league. I can watch live NFL games on Thursday, Sunday, and Monday nights. Track player and team news, player tweets, watch NFL Network 24/7 and more. Plus, with NFL Mobile, I have real-time access to NFL Red Zone, so I can watch every touchdown from every game on Sunday afternoons. So I'll never be without football. Especially when Jaws and Muffin can't find that oh-so-perfect spot. Oh, hold up. Go, go. That's it. Come on, kick it into hyperdrive. Touchdown!
Get NFL Mobile on America's largest 4G LTE network and discover why more people choose Verizon than any other network. Call ** NFL to download NFL Mobile now. Verizon, official wireless provider of the New England Patriots. Airtime message and data usage applies. Available on select smartphones. Coverage not available everywhere. Don't call or text while driving.
Before Jenny met her new nephew, Wyatt, before she drove to New York, and before she picked up a Boston Red Sox onesie down the street from her Alston studio, Jenny got 1% back on tires, 2% back on snacks, and 3% back on gas using her Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. So Jenny got ready to do what she loved with cash rewards she liked. That's the power of the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. That's Bank of America. Life's better when we're connected. With the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, you can earn 1% cash back on all purchases all the time, 2% cash back on groceries, and 3% cash back on gas. Apply today at bankofamerica.com/getcashback. Grocery and gas bonus rewards apply to 1,500 in combined purchases each quarter. Call 1-888-224-8735 for details about credit costs and terms. Copyright 2013 Bank of America Corporation.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live. Shop retailers and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Healthcare Center, located on site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epochere. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Storytime every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. The New England Patriots are back in action, and Ace Ticket, the Patriots' official fan travel partner, is behind the team, from Foxborough all the way to Miami. Ace Ticket is your official home for all Boston sports tickets. With free and easy pickup in Kenmore Square or across the street from the Boston Garden or game day pickup at Patriot Place. Ace Ticket is Boston's own ticket agency. We've been serving our customers for over 30 years. Ace always has the best seats at the lowest prices. Whether it's sports, concert, or theater tickets, Ace makes it easy to get the tickets you want and the service you deserve. So treat yourself or impress someone. Go to aceticket.com or call 1-800-MY-SEATS and get the lowest prices on the best tickets for all Boston sports teams. And with our free loyalty program, you get 5% back on all orders. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com. Ace Ticket. Sit your ace down.
1-800-MY-SEATS. 1-800-MY-SEATS.
The Patriots Pro Shop has everything you need to show your pride on game day and every day. Choose from the widest selection of hats, tees, authentic jerseys, autographed memorabilia, and much more, including our new game-worn gear collection, where you can own a piece of authentic Patriots history. The Patriots Pro Shop, located next to Gillette Stadium, is open Monday through Saturday, 10 a.m. to 9 p.m., and Sunday, 10 a.m. to 7 p.m., or shop online 24/7 at PatriotsProShop.com. The Patriots Pro Shop, your team, your store. Follow the Patriots like never before with the official Patriots mobile apps for iPhone, Android, and iPad. Get instant access to all the latest news, stats, and analysis, plus live Patriots Game Center. Search New England Patriots in your device's app marketplace to get the latest Patriots news, audio, and video in the palm of your hand. Download the official Patriots mobile apps today and stay connected. We all know that Paul Perillo is an award-winning journalist, but did you know he's also an excellent babysitter?
Guys, knock it off.
Paul excels in communication.
I have a terrible mouth.
You do have a terrible mouth.
Not to your kids, though, right?
When I want emphasis.
Really?
Teaching.
They listen to you more when you swear?
Wait, what do you use?
When I raise my voice and I get angry and I might, you know... I'll kick your A, or something like that.
Oh, he's threatening.
Wow, violent.
And discipline.
I'm going to tell you right now, if Will gets arrested when he's 16, they have an open beer in the car, I am going to hit him. Okay? I'm telling you right now. But there won't be a spanking on the ass either.
In need of a sitter this weekend? Call Paul at 855-PATS-500 or email your babysitting request to webradio@patriots.com. Now back to Fred, Andy, Eric, and Papa Perillo.
All right, back here at PFW in Progress, 508-298-0398 is the Ace Ticket Hotline, webradio@patriots.com is the email address, 855-PATS-500 is the toll-free number in the continental United States. Oh, we just ate. You know, what the hell? Manny's on the Ace Ticket Hotline. He's in North Dartmouth. Hey Manny.
Manny.
Oh, I got to hit the...
Hey, Manny.
He just says it and doesn't... Hi, Manny.
Thank you for picking up this time.
No problem.
Next time, can you burp a little bit louder in my ear?
I'll try.
Okay. That clip you guys just played of Paul talking about hitting his kids, that reminds me of the justice we used to hand out in Portugal.
Oh, okay.
You know, they don't do that here in this country enough, I don't think.
Corporal punishment.
You preach it, Manny. Old school. Nice.
AC from Toronto. I was wondering if you guys could dedicate a show in the off season just to answering questions and telling little interesting stories about the Patriots' dynasty years. Well, that's right now. What the media was saying, what the reputation of the organization was going through those years, and what you guys personally thought at the time when Brady replaced Bledsoe, stuff like that. I know most PFW listeners were probably fans way before the dynasty years, but personally, I only started watching football in 07. And I'm sure there are some fans like me who would love to get some insight and interesting stories from you guys. Well, when the time is right, we will.
And we generally sprinkle those in when they come up, when questions elicit those responses.
Yeah, and I would invite you to ask if you had specific questions like the Brady thing.
Like, Paul hated Brady because he loved Drew.
Yeah.
Fred just says, yeah.
Well, you were against the move at first, weren't you? Yeah. Were you really? No, I caught him in mid calzone, so he can't answer. But well, I don't remember Paul objecting that badly when they replaced Bledsoe with Brady.
I don't really remember either.
Yeah.
Wait, I mean, we were talking at the beginning. Yeah, I was against it, but once Brady had started winning games, it became a moot point.
No, but
point.
It was
ridiculous.
The beginning. You had no choice because Bledsoe almost died.
No, so, what I'm saying is I thought that even
not
when
injury related.
They won a few games with Brady. You know, I didn't do it even when they were like 5-5.
Right.
I was all for Drew should get an opportunity to win
his
job
back. When
he
comes back. Yeah.
Well, that's when he got. That's when he came back.
Right.
And he didn't get his opportunity. The
Joe Theismann was taking the reps.
Yeah, Belichick said that for the foreseeable future, blah, blah, blah. But once they go on into the playoffs and they win the Super Bowl, that's over. It's a moot point.
Right. You didn't – well, but he was – there was a reason why they stuck with Brady because he was playing really well.
And you know, he was playing their style football.
Exactly.
No one ever lost by punting.
Right. Well, were you at the next question? Presser in front of Drew's locker? I caught him in mid-chew again.
Yeah,
too,
he's,
but.
I asked the question that elicited the next question.
Oh, you did?
Yes.
Drew, can I touch your groin?
Next question.
Goes without
Drew,
saying.
No, Drew, I've noticed your groin looks a little different. He had made a comment about, you know, as I've done in the past and will continue to do, I will do everything in my power to prepare myself as best that I can as the backup quarterback and be ready to do everything I can to fight to get my job back. And I said, if you're not going to be getting any reps in practice, which is what Belichick had just told us in the press conference, how do you get the opportunity to get your job back? And that's what elicited the next question.
Next question.
And then I went up to him later and said, I didn't mean anything by that, Drew. I was just asking.
No, actually you went up and said, was that how you wanted it asked?
Yeah. Dan in Sandwich, Mass. Nice job this year. Thanks for all your work. I'm a lifelong Patriots fan, long enough to remember listening to the snowplow game on my parents' clock radio. Anyway, some general observations about the current state of the Patriots. One, we need to get back to the Charlie Weiss on-schedule clock-eating offense, period. 4 yards per play is a success. Agree? It made me sick to see that pass to Slater on 3rd-and-3 last week.
Yeah, most of us did not care for that.
But I see Weiss's offense the same as the offense now, pretty much.
Yeah, I don't think it's dramatically different. I think he was more. Yeah, I don't know. I agree with you. I don't really pigeonhole Charlie's offense. I mean, is he saying Charlie had some sort of conservative offense? Because he didn't.
No, I mean, I remember
he ran as many gimmick plays
exactly.
as anybody.
You know, when are we going to stop doing the end around when we only need 2 yards?
And I wouldn't have a problem with 3rd-and-3 going deep if I had a receiver who I thought could make a play on the ball. Part of the biggest part of the problem is Matthew Slater was the intended target. That's by far the biggest part of the problem to me, not the play call or decision.
Two, we still have not won a title without Parcells players in key roles. Brewski, Brown, McGinnis, Vinatieri were all critical to our titles. Do you guys think this is just a coincidence, or is there anything to this?
There's something to it. It has nothing to do with Bill Parcells. It has to do with good players.
Well, it's the defense.
Good defensive players.
Yeah.
You know, if they had other good defensive players, I don't care where they came from. If they, you know, Rodney Harrison was not a Bill Parcells player. But if Rodney Harrison was playing on this team next to Devin McCourty, they'd be a better defense and they'd have a better chance to win the Super Bowl. It's not directly tied to Bill Parcells except the fact that those guys did get here under Parcells.
Yep.
Now, Paul, go ahead. Go ahead, Paul. You're making comments over there.
Details.
He's such an a-hole. Sometimes, don't you just think, Paul, a-hole?
Let's see. Now Kevin, are we sure that these phone calls came from a different phone number than the previous ones?
Well, two of these three guys are regulars. Dan in Virginia and Maurice are regulars, so
okay.
I know their voice.
And listen, we got to set the rules around here. Only Fred can say pussy. Only Fred can say foreskin. Right. You're not allowed to prank this call. Only Fred can prank this
well,
show.
Well, let's try Billy in California. Hey, Billy.
So Fred goes for the non.
What's up, Billy?
How's it going?
Billy, you're not going to say anything dirty, are you?
No. I am going to be a little critical of Tom Brady, which some can see as...
Uh-oh, that's worse.
You know, we don't allow
Billy,
that
Billy, be careful. Andy will be there and beat you up.
No, I won't.
Hey, be careful.
Tom Brady did not play
just
well.
Just tread lightly.
He missed some throws. Was he?
Use euphemisms like it wasn't his best game, and you'll be all right. Go ahead.
Yeah, no, I'm the biggest Brady fan out there, but I was a little surprised after the game and this week listening to a lot of talk radio and reading a lot of the papers on the uproar around the missed pass to Edelman. And I say that only because that's been Brady's weakness in his game for a long time now, including this year. There were so many passes deep that he missed on. So I don't quite understand. I know it was a critical play in the game, but I don't know why everyone expected, even Brady himself, when he said he'd hit it 9 out of 10 times, and why he thinks that's a pass that should have been completed, which then leads into my thoughts and questions around the offseason and the upgrades at the receiver position. I really think that they need to look into going after more bigger physical possession receivers on the outside, like an Anquan Boldin, who is a free agent, the Brandon Marshall type, those who operate in the 10 to 15 yard range, who can beat man-to-man, can go up and get the ball, not necessarily a deep threat, but those that are a physical presence on the outside that can work the middle of the field, that can win one-on-one battles in the playoffs. What's your thoughts around that, guys?
I think that's a very, very good point. Now, the Edelman ball, I don't really consider a deep ball. I think 99% of quarterbacks have to make that throw, have to make that completion. It was down the field, but I don't think, you know, I think more of some of the, you know, the ones he's missed here, I'm even visualizing into the end zone, that were true bombs. To me, that was a play that you need to connect on. It wasn't a bomb. To me, that was a much more high percentage throw than that, that he just flat out missed. But you're right. Going with Brady's skills and his forever inability to be great at the deep ball, you're right. I do think an outside the numbers guy who is more of a fight for the ball, maybe yards after catch, make
right.
guys miss, than just a pure down the field, I'm going to throw it up
right.
to him.
Right.
Yeah, that's very, very logical.
Yep. Let's go to
you cut him off?
Is Dobson?
Yeah. Oh.
Thanks for the call.
Is Dobson that mold?
Oh, I think so, yeah.
Yeah. I think you might have one.
Maybe.
Let's go to Dan
you
in
have
Virginia.
One. It could
hey,
be
Dan.
That.
Hey, Fred, how's it going?
Good.
Good day, Mike. Oh, Dan the Aussie.
Yes, we're
practicing our just practicing for our accent off with Fred. Yeah, I'm going to do Brazil soon.
judging from that, I already won.
is that your Brazilian accent that sounds like strangely like Italian, Andy, or your Brazilian accent that sounds strangely like German?
Yes.
Yeah. All of them. Right.
Boy, does he have you.
Smith has unfortunately been replaced with Sy. I know that's happened over the last couple of days. And Paul said on Tuesday that you guys need us to be there in the off season, and definitely we'll be there. There's already a lot to discuss, but I just wanted to reflect a little bit on the game on Sunday and ask a couple of questions about it. I've clearly been with the team all season, even with the stuff that went on in the off season. I predicted that this was going to just spur them on to greatness, and I think for the most part it did. I was so impressed with what they were able to accomplish, and I'm looking forward to what they'll do next year. But it was just after having fought to be in every game this season, they were just never really in contention in the biggest game of the year. It was a disappointing end to an amazing season. As Paul said, we're expecting them to be mentally tougher, and that was wrong. I mean, where was the fight? They just seemed to put in their least effort. I mean, if they'd lost but had made a contest of it, that would have been something. Fred, on Kirschwood's, I pressed in before completing my comment. It came out as, I'm not panicking yet, but what I intended to say was, I'm not panicking yet, but I'm more worried with the score at 10-3 than I was back in November when the score was 24-0.
Really?
They just weren't in that game. On the offense, the play calling and the execution were both troubling. You know, there's no Von Miller, and you're going up against a low-ranking Denver secondary, but they weren't able to get it going. There was a 3rd-and-3 to Slater that was just befuddling. Josh seems to get too cute against opponents that are, against strong opponents. And when he does throw in that cute play, it's usually a bad sign. The defense was ineffective. I mean, the secondary was lost even before Tlaib went out. was there a game plan? There was a shot of Bill and Patricia on the sideline at one stage, and the look almost seemed to say, Manny didn't just immediately poop himself. So I guess we're going to have to actually come up with a game plan. I don't think I've ever seen Manning play a Belichick defense better. I mean, with both sides of the ball, what was the plan? They didn't look prepared for this game. They didn't look really ready to play. You guys can see more than we can. All we can see is Brady not throwing the ball. But my questions are, what were the reasons why the offense played so badly?
Talent.
And if the Broncos defense did play that good a game, was that a surprise?
Well, see, I don't buy, no offense to you, yep. Dan, I don't buy anything you said. I think they were just outmanned. I think they didn't have the talent. I don't think they lacked fight. I don't think they didn't prepare. I think they just faced a far better football team that marched up and down the field on them that they could not compete with. And I think it started from play one. I said this to Paul. They could have thrown a touchdown to Demaryius Thomas on play one. He bitch-slapped Aqib Talib and was running wide open across the field from Manning's left to right. Instead, Manning threw a little check to the left. Had he hit him, it was Josh Gordon-esque. You would have seen Talib chasing Demaryius Thomas about 5 yards behind. It would have been 7-0, and the game would have been over. I think they got their asses handed to them, and they just weren't good enough.
Yeah, I agree about the fight, too, because I was disappointed with how they played, but not necessarily their willingness to continue to play hard.
Right.
I think that it's a testament to this team that they got blown out and lost by 10, because I think a lot of other teams would have lost that game by 30. Now,
yeah,
you can make an argument as to what I agree with every one of them. The Patriots really didn't do a whole lot to only lose by 10. It just was sort of circumstantial. They didn't come up with stops in the red zone. It just was one of those things. Denver did whatever it had to do to comfortably win the game, and that was game. But I didn't necessarily – I looked at it like Andy did, I guess. I thought they got outplayed on both sides of the ball. Fred, you made a big point about the line play. Offensive line just got beat. They just got beat by the Denver defensive front, and it's hard to really overcome that.
Yeah, I see where you're coming from. I guess it just seems there are a lot of times where – Even when the defensive guys were there, they just weren't able to make plays. I mean, you know, maybe you're right. Maybe it just comes down to talent. But what about on the offense side of the ball? I mean, the offense just didn't seem to really get anything going until really late in the game.
We saw going into this game for the last few weeks that it was just the Julian Edelman show when Brady was passing, but the running game made up for that.
People were deceived by the point total.
Yeah.
The offense had not played really well
down the
stretch.
You know, they decided early, we're not going to be able to run on these guys, and that was pretty much ball game.
And you still had only Julian Edelman, now you needed
Patriots,
to throw.
I think the Patriots had 5-3 and outs in the Colts game. So,
yeah.
I know it's easy to look up at the end of the game and see the 43 and think that everything is great. Well, that's what 4 turnovers that the other team gave you, or you forced. Whatever. I mean, I don't mean to say that in a derogatory way before Fred jumps on me. Without the turnover to help you, I'm not sure that this team was capable of scoring 30 points.
Yeah.
And the Broncos didn't even come close to turning it over, and you know, obviously they didn't come close to getting to even 20, let alone 30.
Right.
And I mean, as down as it may have just sounded like I was on the team, I just wanted to say again that I thought this was an amazing season for everything that happened to them to do what they did to win those games was just incredible. And you know, full credit to Bill and the leadership of the team and all the players themselves. They all stepped up. It was great to watch all year, and we've certainly got a lot to discuss in the off season.
All right, thanks, Dan.
It's not quite this dramatic because they weren't that bad, but they were sort of that Cinderella basketball team that got to the Sweet 16 or the Elite, then you just watched them get beat by 25 points because they're really not that good.
At some point, the other team realizes how much better they are than you.
And it wasn't quite that dramatic.
It's a good analogy.
Did you see Damon Amendola has his own segment on NFL Network?
Yeah, I was just watching
DA
that.
DA around the NFL, look at him.
Wow.
Is that the auxiliary press, by the way, Paul? That tent
maybe.
They keep Sean on the field? Because that would have been kind of cool.
Yeah, that would have been
cool. Angle, though. You can't really...
It doesn't matter. I couldn't see anything from touching the back wall of Houston, either.
The only thing this avoided the fight between me and Fred. I wasn't blogging during the game outside.
Maurice is in South Carolina. Hey, Maurice.
Hey, how's y'all doing?
Good.
Hey, Homo.
Hey, I know last week when I was reading on the website, Andy predicted the Broncos would win, and everybody was bashing him.
Yep.
I want to give a shout-out to him, and, you know, he called like he see it. We just don't have the talent to match Denver. And this is my thing. I was listening to the caller like 10 minutes ago. He stated that we need to make some kind of a trade, and he mentioned the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. I don't know if Vincent Jackson or Darrell Revis is available, but I would at least feel a phone call to inquire about them. And I would tell Tampa Bay, look, we want Darrell Revis and Vincent Jackson. We'll open our closet, and you can take whatever you want, with the exception of Tom Brady and a couple other players and draft picks. What do we need to do to get Vincent Jackson and Darrell Revis on the team? I was wanting to know what you guys feel about that also.
Yeah, I love it. I mean, if you can do it, and I'm willing to give up a couple first-round picks to get it done, easily a couple first. I'll give you 3 first-round picks If that gets it done, I'll give you 3 first-round picks, and I'll take my chances over the next couple of years with Jackson and Revis, Tlaib. You know, I'll just be invested. I'll be invested in this run, and it might not end pretty, but I'm going to swing for the fences.
Well, swing for the fences, but those guys are still relatively young, and I wouldn't say that's the only way, but that's got to be option number one.
Yeah, but the problem is, if I lose Brady and I just lost 3 first-round picks, my future is going to have some bumps in it.
Oh, yeah.
I'm selling out for the present.
Well, you know what? Well, they're going to have to upgrade the offensive line so Brady can feel more comfortable in the pocket. We have, 2 practice squad players on the offensive line, Connolly and Wendell. I mean, those are backup players. We need to bring in some quality starting offensive line. You
know? And that's going to be more of an issue now without Dante there to groom those players. But I agree. I think right guard is a pretty – Paul doesn't agree, but I think right guard is a pretty high priority in this team. I still think you can get by with a center if you put him between a couple good guards.
Yeah.
So whether that's Conley, whether that's Wendell, I would like to see a right guard who I think is a more formidable challenge.
Well, let's see how DeJean does.
Yeah, but Jackson and Darrell Revis, DeJean? That would talk about problems on offense.
It's not delivery.
Oh, yeah, I'm with you on the trade. I told you. I'd 3 first-round picks I would send via FedEx right now. Send them players back. I'm ready. Let's roll. Let's start today.
Three, huh?
I would send
3 first-round picks?
For those two,
I would
yeah.
Send Josh
I wouldn't
Boyce.
Give 3.
I would send Josh Boyce in with that trade also. He's a young player, like I said.
Yeah, but you have to send them something they want. Josh Boyce is irrelevant. No offense.
Well, I mean... They're a rebuilding team, so they got time to develop them. I mean,
yeah, but they don't want to develop a 4th-round pick who did nothing and was injury-prone. You know, you have to send them something. 3 first-round picks would kick that door open. I don't know if you'd get the deal done, but it would open the door for a discussion.
I wouldn't give 3. Yeah. I'd give 2, not 3.
Well, we need to at least field a phone call just to inquire about those 2 players.
Why? We're just going to trade the 1 for a 3, a 5,
right,
and
thanks,
a 7.
Maurice.
So you wouldn't give a 3, a 5, and a 7 for Vincent Jackson?
Who was that that,
not
that,
trade a one
that
for
brought
a three,
that up?
A
which caller brought that?
Gary
from New York?
Gary
I also like to call him Mike Lombardi. I thought he sounded exactly like Mike
I liked
Lombardi.
Gary's call.
So, that was intriguing. I mean, usually those trade calls are like,
Well, he didn't have enough.
But the players are.
But the players, I think, are guys that.
Now, do you like that better than separate trades for Revis and Larry Fitzgerald? If we're going to just play this game.
I would rather make 2 separate trades. One for Revis and one for Larry Fitzgerald. A lot better than Vincent
Jackson. Hell yeah.
Would the Cardinals take Eric for Larry Fitzgerald?
The whole Larry Fitzgerald thing kind of annoys me. Like,
he's not going to show up.
Why Arizona would just want to give him to us?
But did not report.
They're good now.
Yeah.
They had a good year.
Yeah.
They almost made the playoffs. They were 10-6.
Yeah. I know. It's not
and they're
happen.
In a window with Carson Palmer because they're going to be without a quarterback again at some point. Even though I don't think he's great. I mean, he's what they have right now. Why would you take a step back?
And he was okay.
He was fine.
He showed you that if you have an NFL player playing quarterback, that team was pretty good. You could win.
But you can certainly argue that the Bucs are earlier on in the process, have Glennon. Maybe they would like to, you know, mix things up. I don't know.
You have a much better chance of acquiring Vincent Jackson than you do last
Maybe financially, the Glaziers. I mean, weren't they supposedly like in deep water financially? Maybe they're looking to unload money or
deep
however that works.
Jeff writes in, now that it's the offseason, can you explain a rule that's been bothering me? How is a spike legal? Shouldn't it be intentional grounding?
Because it's legal. It's a specific – your first thing you do when you leave center
right,
is spike
the
ball.
Right, you're not
doing
it to get away from trouble.
Yeah,
it's not to avoid a sack.
Right.
Intentional grounding
it
is
has
avoid,
to be your
to avoid a loss.
No, but you if you spike the ball other than your first movement, you
exactly.
can be called.
You can't do it.
It has to be your first thing.
Andy's right.
Like once you fake spike, you couldn't fake spike, fake throw, spike.
Right.
You have to spike.
Right.
If you took, I don't know why you'd want to take that much
it's
time. Anyway.
Like
if you took more than one, but if you took more than one step back from center and tried to spike it, you'd get called for intentional grounding.
Right. 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 Eric in Atlanta, hey, Fred, Andy, Paul, and the pompous one. Another great and entertaining year from PFW Progress.
Eric.
Thanks for all you do. It seems to me that there have been an extraordinary number of drop balls this year across the NFL.
Did you just turn it to JFK?
In college ball by some experienced receivers. In years past, receivers would often snatch the ball out of the air and get ready to take a hit. Receivers now seem more concerned about the hit they're going to take rather than catching the ball. Do you agree?
No.
And is this the evolution of the game?
No. I think when you watch good receivers, they still snatch the ball out of the air. Bad receivers don't.
I also think that...
You watch a lot of Patriots games.
Don't you feel like the whole process is much more efficient than it ever has been? like the whole throwing and catching process. I've seen more examples of guys just
some places.
Beautiful footwork on the sideline. Wonderful catch. I mean, every week we see these amazing catches. We always get mad when they call off a pass interference for being uncatchable. And I said, some of the catches that I've seen, I don't like that. I don't like the fact that that's in the rule book, because there's no such thing as uncatchable to me with these guys. I feel like they throw it more. So, yeah, you probably have a higher volume of drops, because everybody throws more than they did 15 years ago. So you're probably seeing more physical drops.
Right.
But I think you're seeing far more, a far higher percentage of amazing catches and amazing timing in the passing game between quarterbacks and receivers. Obviously, not every team has a Tom Brady or Peyton Manning. So not everybody is as efficient at it as some of the others. But
also not every team has
receivers, to me, are much better today.
Think of the Alshon Jeffrey play where he catches the ball and it's hanging on the guy's shoulder and he just holds onto it. But there are plenty of receivers out there who are snatching the ball out of the air.
Unbelievable. You know,
we just don't happen to have any of them right now.
The whole back shoulder phenomenon, that's not an easy play.
Right.
And that's something that's really just become really popular, what, the last 5 years?
And I would also argue that generally the guys that make those are the bigger, longer receivers.
Long arms.
We don't have any big, long receivers, right? So we're lacking in those right now, and that's why we don't see as many of those if you watch a lot of Patriots games.
If you had to say right now, you had to say definitively, one of the stupid PFW-isms.
Okay, I like
great
them.
Or
great?
Average. Aaron Dobson.
Average.
Right now, average.
You can only pick one.
Yeah.
Right now, average, yeah.
I'm saying what? I'm not
what
saying what he just did. Yeah.
I'm not. Yeah, I know.
He wasn't even average. This
I got
year.
The question. Average.
Well, yeah.
No, I know you did. He's like right now.
Since
like,
there's no middle
no,
ground,
I mean, what do you think he's going to be?
Since there's no middle ground, I'd say average.
So you think that he's probably just going to be a run in the mill receiver then?
No, in actuality, I think he's
somewhere
gonna
in between.
Pretty good, but not great.
Yeah. Like
I think he needs to be more than pretty good.
I think he's a 2-3.
Like David Gibbons,
a 1-2.
I think
maybe.
I don't even think he's as good as David Gibbons.
No,
not even that good.
No,
really?
Nope.
Because I don't think Gibbons was great.
Oh, I think he was pretty damn good.
Then what?
He wasn't great.
I don't think so.
Yeah, and I think he's better than Aaron Dobson.
Yeah.
I agree with Andy on that.
Gibbons had one of the best back shoulder catches I think I've ever seen.
Well, he was a great
athlete. That touchdown against Denver. Do you remember that?
Yep.
That
he was a very good
Monday night game.
Safety game.
Not great. You're right. He's not great. But
no.
A very good receiver.
Gibbons was not
who
great.
Seemed to rise to the occasion when you needed a catch.
He had really good focus.
I will also say if Gibbons played in this era of Patriots football, he'd be a 100-catch guy.
Yep. And by the way, let's get off Josh for just a minute because, I mean, are we now to the point where we think Josh just tells Brady where to throw? It's 3rd and 3. I'm putting Slater in.
Well, that's why I said I'm not willing to take Brady off the hook.
So doesn't Brady have
Slater
some decision
thing.
Of where he goes with that football?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Brady, so let's get off Josh. And by the way,
Brady threw the ball to Slater.
The
not
Browns
Josh.
Are hiring Pettine or whatever.
Mike Pettine.
Never been impressed with him.
As
that whole
coach?
Hard knock. Well, they're efforting to or
and
something.
I'll just give you one more thing with the anti-Mike.
They've been efforting for a month now.
Mike Pettine, he left the Jets this year. He went to Buffalo. The Jets defense got a lot better this year.
By the way, your chin's sticking out a little after that. Jets defense got a lot better.
I wanted to see if he said they sucked. Just normally what
I mean, did you ever think, Pettine, he's a hothead coaching candidate.
No, I always thought Rex Ryan was the guy.
Yeah, by the way, so Coach Elmo was there, was his offensive line coach? Is that?
He was with the Jets
I think
most recently, right?
Might have been the year was that the year Sperano was there? 2 years ago?
Okay.
Yeah, because he had a connection to Sperano from BU.
Right.
Oh, and that's why he was in Miami and...
Sperano was the O-line coach.
Oh, yeah.
Geez.
And offensive coordinator.
I'm not feeling so good about this, huh?
Junior in Dorchester writes in, I'm not sure if you guys discussed this already, but now that Devin McCourty is an all-pro at both the cornerback and safety positions, does that change your opinion of him as a player?
First of all, he isn't, so no.
Changes my opinion of the all-pro status.
He's not an all-pro at both.
No, I know, he's not. He was a second team. That's not the same.
He was second team at safety. Was he even second team as a corner?
I don't know.
He went to the Pro Bowl as a corner, as a safety. He's a second team All-Pro, Paul. And how many were there?
At least
safeties.
Eight.
There were eight, I think.
A boatload, as Paul said. Yeah. They probably all got one vote.
I forgive me for dropping the ball. I didn't look this up, but I'm sure that it's available somewhere. My guess is they all got one vote, all those second teams.
I think Devin McCourty
they have far and away the most at that position than any other position.
Devin McCourty is a fine... good player. Good. Like we just talked about at receiver. Good.
He's good.
Not great. Not a centerpiece.
I also
not
think
an
he,
all-pro, by the way.
I also think he tailed off in the second half of the year. But
he
I
did.
Think he's not the problem.
So did Gregory.
He didn't tail off as much as Gregory did.
I think he's a good communicator. I think he cuts down on the long ball. He has done a good job of making them not give up as many deep balls, but he could use a very good safety next to him to help him out because he's not elite.
Aviard in Longmeadow, Mass. Matt Patricia made one of the most ridiculous defensive substitutions I've ever seen. It's 3rd and 10 in the first quarter, a few plays after the Welker foul on Tlaib, when Patricia pulls Jamie Collins off the field. Collins had just made a play on 2nd down, and the camera was focused on him as 3rd down approached. He looked fine, so it wasn't fatigue-related, and you could see the disappointment in his face as he realized he was being replaced. Manning comes to the line, realizes Collins is off the field, and promptly audibles to a Marino off-tackle run into the spot where Collins would have been. 37 yards later, it's Broncos' 1st down in the red zone, and they eventually score to make it 10-0. After the game, Manning even referenced the play as being a very important element in their win. I understand that it just wasn't the Patriots' day, and Tlaib's injury had the Pats scrambling, but come on, man. You don't take one of your best players off the field in a situation like that, especially a player with coverage skills that's been making plays. I've never had a strong opinion of Patricia either way, but after the Broncos game, I'm starting to think he may be a liability.
Wow.
Wow.
I do kind of remember that play when they took him out.
I know exactly the play, and I remember him coming out. It was the draw. It was 28 yards, but they wouldn't have run the ball if they were in the regular defense. He audibled to the play because they were in the defense that they were in. 3rd and 10, he's not going to run the ball with Jamie Collins standing there. Now, you can make the argument that I want Jamie Collins on the field because he's one of my 11 best, and I would say to the emailer, I absolutely wholeheartedly agree, especially the way he was playing down the stretch. He was one of your 11 best players. Under no circumstances should an athlete like that be taken off the field on any play, in my opinion, unless he's injured, and he wasn't injured. But to say that that's, you know, wouldn't have happened anyway, and I know the emailer didn't say that, but, I mean, Julius Thomas did sort of have his way with him in coverage. I think Collins was better around the line of scrimmage that day. I thought he had good pass rush once or twice. I thought he was good against the run for the most part, but I think as we all sort of worried about, Julius Thomas had his way with him as a receiver.
Because Julius Thomas is a much better athlete than Kobe Fleener.
Matt says,
it's amazing what Manning can do with those undrafted free agents that didn't play football.
Matt says, the Patriots in the past demonstrated that they are willing to invest in the tight end position. That said, I have a few questions.
Heavily.
One, are the Patriots scheduled to get Aaron Hernandez's money back?
Well, no. He has actually a pretty good cap number this year. Is it like 4 million, 7 million? Whatever it was, it's pretty chunky this year. But
I
there was
pretty good as if not a lot of money. I was like, I thought it was the opposite.
No. Like pretty hefty. But there was discussion, and I don't know enough about contracts and all this, that if he is charged in the second murder from a year previous, that could void his contract and they could get a boatload of cap space.
They could get
back.
It all back.
You know, I don't think they're ever going to see the money again.
No,
that's going
it's just
to his room
on the cap.
But
yeah.
If you all of a sudden get like 15 million in cap space, that's a lot of cap room.
Right.
That's especially if you're doing a highfalutin thing like we're doing and we're trading for Darrell Revis and Vincent Jackson. It'd be nice to have that money. Now, my guess is that'll take a long time to play out, and that could be years down the road before all that, because he hasn't even
Brady will be long, long ago on his couch, and they'll get the money back and get all these receivers. Like, now they get it.
He smashes the TV.
He'll be walking around with like an Afghan on, muttering to himself as he's eating his soup.
Number two.
I don't get that whole process. If
I don't really get it either.
If the double murder, because that took place before these NFL rules.
I know.
What's the stipulation? I mean, what's the difference? I don't get it.
And Matt also says, how much beyond the Hernandez deal would Jimmy Graham be looking for? Probably about that type of money, right?
No, he'll get more than that.
More than that?
He's a better player.
Yeah. Receiver, yeah.
He's a better player.
Better player overall.
If you want to put him in the same role, he's better.
Do you think the Patriots would
They're both soft as goo, but he's better.
Do you think the Patriots would have interest in Graham?
Aaron, I didn't mean that. He's going to be franchised. But, yeah, I'm just saying theoretically.
Yeah, I think they would. Yes, I think every team in the league would have interest
would
in
they
Jimmy
have
Graham.
Adrian Peterson interest? Would they have any, you know, J.J. Watt interest? Well, because you're an idiot.
That's just me.
You would not?
No.
Because?
He's a running
He's
guy.
He's too good.
Because you can't win Super Bowls running the football and playing defense.
Seattle? Anybody
here? Are you there?
Anybody home, Seattle?
Hey, Dave.
Next. Hey, guys.
Yeah. What do you know?
What are we doing today, guys? Quick question for you. What position right now do you feel is the most important in a draft for us to address?
That is a great question. I don't know, because I think the defense needs to get better. But as I've said, where am I targeting? I have Chandler Jones. I have Collins and Hightower. Do I like Ninkovich? I just re-signed him. You know,
right?
And you've drafted, Paul made fun of me, but you drafted all these corners and safeties. Are we just throwing them all? I'd like to get a lot better at safety, but is Daron Harmon good? I don't. I'm at a little bit of a loss right now as to what I'm targeting in the draft on defense. I'll be honest with you.
And here's another quick question for you. Why did we take Adrian Wilson and put him on IR? It doesn't seem like he's even going to make the team next year.
Well, he's not. I don't think he was going to make the team this year.
He wasn't going to make it this year.
Now,
that's why.
That's an interesting situation because, A, I thought it was a golden parachute that they brought a guy in and paid him a little respect for being the guy he was. Then he supposedly had a hamstring injury, and then last we saw he was recovering from a torn Achilles. I don't know when he tore the Achilles. He may have torn the Achilles in workouts post-IR. But he is coming off a torn Achilles. I thought he was terrible last summer and didn't look, you know, competitive. I find it hard to believe coming off a torn Achilles he's going to be more competitive. So, yes, he will not be on the team.
And, you know, with Vince, with his Achilles, I mean, I know he's looking to come back. I saw that that Showtime thing with him and his wife. I thought it was really nice. I know he wants to play. But, you know, he's been in the league 10 years, you know, and, I mean, obviously – one of the best, you know. And we're going to have to sooner or later look for a replacement for him.
Yes, I agree. Add that to the list of things. But I also, if Kelly and Wilfork are back, then it's not that big.
Right.
Really, I mean, can one of you people chime in? What is the biggest draft target on defense right now?
To me, secondary.
So you're giving up on somebody.
No, I think defensive line, too.
He asked me a question. But my biggest need, I think the defensive line is a need, too. My biggest need, to me, is a secondary guy.
A cornerback?
They need better players than
they have. So Dennard isn't a starter.
If I can improve on Dennard.
If I can get a better one, then
absolutely.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I know, but are you going to? Are you drafting a first-round corner? Is he going to be better?
I haven't delved into it yet,
or
so I don't know.
Or is he going to be?
But certainly you can get a better safety than Steve Gregory.
Kyle Wilson.
And Daron Harmon.
Yeah. Devin McCourty.
But see, what
do we know about Harmon?
Take the best guy available.
I understand your little utopia that you think that the Patriots
live in. And we all do, Fred. If a guy is obviously the best player, you're not passing on him because I could really add a safety here. You're going to take the best player.
Right. And I know we've said it for the last few years, but I would still take another solid defensive end, outside linebacker, pass rusher.
They need defensive end help bad.
Yeah, they need a lot of help. I just don't know where the help comes.
They
and
had
goes.
Two guys that played over 95% of the snaps, and that, to me, like Andy mentioned it earlier in the show, I think that's a big reason why you saw a tail off, especially in Chandler Jones. But I don't think Ninko was as good this year either.
But are we just making excuses? I mean, does J.J. Watt take a lot of plays off?
No, that's why I need. I'm not necessarily saying they took plays off. I don't think they were as productive.
No. Is J.J. Watt replaced a lot on their defense?
No, but I mean. To call Rob Ninkovich J.J. Watt.
No, I'm talking about Chandler Jones.
Well, I don't think he's that kind
of a
player.
A second to third year player. You don't have to be as good, but why are you fading? Why are you not as good in December as you were in September?
Maybe he's just not that
good. I understand that you're not as good as J.J. Watt.
But that's why
fine.
If I had
but
a defensive end.
Why are you fading
end,
so much as the season goes on?
If I had a defensive end that could help out, then, you know, I would take a look at that. And I think that. That's why, you know, we go back to the John Abraham thing. You need more guys. You know, why does he fade? Maybe because he gets more attention than everybody else, because that's really their only threat. He's their only true threat as a pass rusher. Rob Ninkovich is a want-to pass rusher. He'll get there because he's going to work hard.
He got there almost as often as Jones. I mean, 8 to 11 is not that big a difference.
Yeah, and I think that
8
Chandler,
2 years in a row.
Would you say that Rob Ninkovich is a more gifted pass rusher than Chandler Jones, or do you think Chandler Jones is more gifted than Rob Ninkovich?
I think Chandler Jones is more gifted. I don't think he's maximized the gift enough.
I'm not being like overly critical of Ninkovich. One of my favorite guys that we've had, but I think Chandler Jones probably gets a lot more attention than Rob Ninkovich does from the offense.
It's not what Rob Ninkovich
and it might help if you had more than two guys that had the capability of getting near a quarterback.
I agree.
So
you're drafting a defensive end. Well, I'm trying to pinpoint a target here.
That's what I would like.
I think my first one would be the secondary.
So you're taking a corner.
The best secondary guy I could get. If it's a corner safety, I don't care. I haven't looked at this at all, so I don't know who's available.
I haven't either, but we didn't have to in previous years. We said
but everything
they need a pass rusher.
I would take a pass rusher.
To me,
take a pass
rusher.
Because
they
I like
more
I think
needs
it starts
than they
up
have
front.
In the past.
Yeah. It always starts up front on defense.
I agree.
That's why I can't pigeonhole it. I mean, I think they have more needs than they
have. In my opinion, we're talking about replacing a lot of core players from this team. And by core player, I mean played a lot, not Will Fork Mayo.
Dan Conley.
But
right? Dan, Ryan Wendell.
But even, yeah, Conley. Tompkins was a core player early in the year, and we're saying
he might not make
the team.
But that's the kind of player you're talking about.
I think there's a lot of those. I think you have a lot of directions you could go in.
Sure.
And you're replacing guys.
Gotta hurry. Gotta do picks. We don't have to do picks today. We can wait till next week.
Right. I just think you're replacing guys that a lot of people thought were, you know, part of the future, part of the present, and they're not. They're part of the overhaul process.
Part of the past.
Maybe. Not all of them. Maybe. Just some of them. Just a few. You got to have 53 guys.
Yeah. Let's see. Grateful Pats fan in South Carolina says, getting ready to listen to the show today, and I was thinking how you guys said people take a break after we lose. I get just as upset as the next Patriots fan, but I tune in all the time like plenty of other people do.
Thank you.
I remember having season tickets for the old stadium in the late 80s in Section 314, I believe it was. We were pitiful then. Quite a few crappy seasons, nothing like we have now. It's just a game, people. Sometimes the best topics on the show are not even related to football. Where else can you tune in and get child psychology with Fred Kirsch? Poor Ben. That's when I asked him if he was hung. family counseling with Paul Perillo, bro getting knocked out in the shower. Breast talk with Andy Hart almost every few minutes. I think this topic is usually the best. And Escal saying things we all get mad at, even though a lot of the times he is correct. Come on, people. If this run of consistency ever ends, which we all know it will, we are all going to look back and realize how lucky we were to have this type of quality, consistent team for the last 10 to 15 years. Keep up the good work and F the Jets.
When I was going to the bathroom earlier, did I hear, just because he said, you say stuff, whatever, blah, blah.
Well, you say that when people say nice things about you and bad things about everybody else.
That's a good point. Mo had a tremendous call earlier. did I hear you say they could just as easily go 8-8 as 15-1 next year?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's because the guy was asking us to give our prediction for the schedule.
Notice I didn't say 1-15.
No, I yes, I know. But, I mean, statistically speaking, based on their track record, that's not true. I mean, they're closer to 15-1 on an average annual basis than they are 8-8
by a game,
right?
Yeah, by one game.
But
no, but it's a lot.
But I got Fred's
in the NFL. One game's a lot.
Yeah,
I got Fred's.
You think
point.
They could be an 8-8 team next year, huh?
Anything's possible.
Except 1-15.
Not 1-15.
No,
unless Brady goes down.
That's not possible.
Unless Brady.
They went 11-5 when Brady went down.
Like, but it's too early. We don't even know how the team's going to be constituted.
But we're not in Brady Belichick roll out of bed with 10 wins mode.
I am, pretty much.
I kind of am, too.
But I could definitely see, you know, let's face it, they were an eyelash away from 14-2 this year and an eyelash away from maybe 9-7.
Right, and I don't think things could have gone all that much worse.
Right.
So I think we just said, I think next, you know, 14's a better year.
Oh, I right now,
I'll be stunned if
I'm
they go
very optimistic. Like, look,
I'm
very
not ready to
optimistic
kick Brady to the
about,
curb like Paul.
I'm very optimistic about 2014.
No, in the regular season, he's fine.
But, you know, there's a lot of off-season stuff that has to happen before we can out what the team's going to look
and
like.
That was some will be
Fred's
good
point
and some
was we don't even
bad.
Know who's on the teams.
But is Belichick and Brady on the team? Then I'm going with they win double digits.
Oh, yeah.
Like,
that's what they do.
Who was it? Who was the guy that asked that question?
I don't know.
Joel.
Was it Joel?
Yeah.
If he had asked us that same question at this same time in 2007, you would never have said 16-0.
No.
Because there was nobody on the team that ended up being part of the 16-0 team.
But I also wouldn't have said 8-8. I would have said they're a 10 or 11 win team,
and then
I'll
go
from there.
They were coming off the AFC Championship game where, you know, they had the,
I know what you meant, Fred.
You know, a team that was pretty weak, and they needed a lot of help. And
let's put it this way. I don't think they're going to be 8-8. I don't think they're going to be 15-1. They're going to be,
I don't know that.
You know, they're going to be in between there.
If Gronk makes a miraculous recovery, we trade for Jackson and Revis.
Yeah.
That just made a noise, just
it
so
did,
you know.
It went over the air.
He can't hear that.
All right. You scared him. Kevin's walking around. Andy just knocked on the window. Kevin, like, scurried like a mouse.
Just so you know, that's making noise. Did you? Okay.
All right. Well, that's going to do it for this edition of PFW in Progress.
One more hour.
We got to get going.
One more hour.
Thanks for everybody that called or emailed. Even the guy that, you know, had the naughty talk, you know.
You're funny.
Must have been boring.
Looking.
So we'll see you.
Find a girl, you loser.
Remember, we're in the off-season schedule, so we'll see you next Tuesday.
That was another unpredictable edition of PFW in Progress, the podcast for informed Patriots fans worldwide. Like what you heard from the PFW boys? Then support the show and follow your team even more closely by subscribing to the paper that makes the podcast possible, Patriots Football Weekly. Get your subscription right now by calling 1-800-494-PATS or by logging on to pfwonline.com. There's even a web-only international option for Patriots fans outside the U.S. PFW in Progress, brought to you by the writers of Patriots Football Weekly.